about.
Any other year, it'd be March already. But we found it today.
It's a leap day miracle.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah.
Why, Leap Day William is visiting.
Leap Day William?
Miss Lemon, did you not grow up with Leap Day William? He lives in the Mariana Trench. He emerges every 4 years to trade children's tears for candy.
The rules for deciding a leap year goes like this. A leap year must be divisible by 4, but not if it's divisible by 100, unless it's divisible by 400.
I know it's last minute, but I'm having an epic Leap Day party this afternoon.
Wow, a daytime party celebrating Leap Day. Sounds fun, but I have to work.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It's the 29th of February.
Merry Leap Day.
And to you as well. How's
big,
everybody?
Big party scheduled?
Oh, you know it.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe we're working today, by the way.
I know. I thought for sure we'd have it off.
Should be a holiday, right?
Yeah.
How's everybody's weekend?
Good.
Busy.
Busy good.
Oh, was this the wedding weekend?
No, wedding isn't for 2 more weeks.
Oh, what were you doing?
What wasn't I doing?
You got a lot of nerve being busy. That's not the alley I know.
I know. It's got to end.
Did you leave your house?
Like 4 times.
That kind of busy.
I know.
Dude.
I hate it so much.
That sounds awful.
No, I wasn't like Bean taking videos in the woods.
I walk Linus every day. Why are you mocking me taking
I'm not. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful, and I want more Bean videos.
It's Blair Witch Bean.
Well, I mean, that's where we were, is I was walking Linus.
I like, understand that.
I loved it.
The woods aren't creepy, you guys. The woods are beautiful.
No, they look very pretty.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's not the part of it that was creepy. That's correct.
What was creepy about the video?
Just, you know, the guy.
Bean?
Whoever that dude was.
That was Bean.
What?
I know.
I'm just as God made me.
Very special.
Kevin, you have to help me with something because you were always talking about how the Anaheim Ducks eat a bag. Yet, when I looked at the score last night, it seemed like they had more than the Kings, who you always say are so much better. And I'm having trouble reconciling those two things that you say. Can you help me with that?
Bean's on it that he smack talks for other teams.
Right? I like it. A sport he doesn't even care about.
You know, you can't win them all. It's all right. We're good.
The Ducks are on a serious roll. Let's be honest here.
And have been for a little
while. Yeah, for a while. So they're
not terrible?
No.
Oh.
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
They're bad, fans.
They're bad people.
Their fans are terrible. Yes.
How scary.
All right. Well, we got a big Leap Day show for you planned today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But before we get started, I have a story that I think is interesting. Question mark? We take a lot of the freedom of speech that we have in America for granted. People who have only ever lived in America or only ever follow American news probably think, oh, freedom of speech is a thing that's everywhere. It's not. There are so many countries where you can get in so much trouble for doing things that we take for granted. That's why I'm so disappointed. I know we'll talk about this later on today. I'm so disappointed when I see, like, what happened in Anaheim over the weekend with the KKK rally, with the idiots who went down there and didn't let them peaceably demonstrate like the First Amendment allows them to, right? So freedom of speech is in the news because of this case in Canada right now where their laws are a little bit different than ours. They're very American-like, but not in all respects. This is a Canadian comedian named Mike Ward who is being sued about a joke that he told back in 2012. This wasn't a slander or libel thing. This is just a joke that hurt a guy's feelings, and he is suing him, and it is being heard in court.
Oh, jeez.
Which is a very scary thing to think about where that could go, right? He made a joke about a young man with a syndrome that causes a facial disfigurement. The guy was in the news. You might even remember him, Ali. His name was Jeremy Gabriel. He made headlines in Quebec a few years ago when he was flown to Rome to sing for Pope Benedict. So this comedian, Mike Ward, was making a joke that he was very happy that Gabriel was getting so much attention following the papal visit. But now, 5 years later, he's still not dead. Me, I defended him like an idiot. The kid won't die. That was his joke. Now, you could argue whether that's funny or not or in poor taste or not. But does that sound like the type of thing that somebody should be able to sue the comedian for and take him to court?
No.
I can't imagine.
If we're going to sue over hurt feelings, good God.
Yeah.
It's going to be a busy time in court.
Jeremy Gabriel, who is still alive, says that he has been subject to emotional pain and suffering. The joke went too far, and he has taken him into court. Now, I'm not 100% sure how this works, but they have something called a human rights tribunal. It's not a criminal court. They do investigate complaints of discriminatory practices. They may order a respondent to a complaint to cease a practice as well as levy a fine. They could tell this comedian, for instance, to not perform anymore. They also are like courts in that rulings are overseen by a federal court and can be subject to appeals. So I don't know what's going to end up happening. If they're going to say, hey, you did damage to this young man and you hurt his feelings and you're a bad man and here you have to pay $1,000 or whatever or what it's going to be, or if they'll just dismiss it or what. But it is going to court. And a lot of people, especially in comedy and especially in Canada, are keeping their eyes peeled because they're very concerned that something like this could happen.
Yeah, this seems terrible.
Yeah.
Hot take. Again, it's not slander or libel, you know?
Right.
Which, understandably, there are limits on free speech if you say something about somebody that isn't true. But yeah. Clearly, this guy was just making a joke about the kid far out extending his life beyond what people thought based on his medical condition. So anyway, I'll keep my eyes peeled on that. But I was just really surprised to see that because I think of Canada as being so much like the United States in this area. But maybe not.
Maybe it's just that they're usually so polite that this is just so off the realm of politeness.
Yeah, maybe so.
That is just so not nice.
So they're suing for not nice?
Yes, that's what they do in Canada.
Not polite?
They're just such nice people.
We're used to hearing things like that, but maybe that's not how Canadians talk about one another.
Do you think Canadians are awful?
No, I don't at all.
She says with great hope.
I don't think so.
Are they
all
more like us than I thought?
I think they're awesome.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
This next part is very important. I do not care.
All right. Oh. Gustavo Arellano joins us again today.
He caused that riot, right?
Yeah, nice job, Gustavo. Yucking it up.
Oh, the KKK, nothing bad will ever happen here.
Is that how he talks?
I didn't think
That's
so.
That's weird. Also on the program today, we have the Hollywood Reporter's Matthew Bellany coming in studio talking about the Oscars.
He is going to be tired.
Yes, he is.
He was tweeting from the after parties last night, so it was a late night for him.
Good times. Maybe he'll just come straight here.
I hope so.
Yeah. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays. We have highlights of the Oscars. And we're going to announce Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016 at about 7:20.
Yeah!
All the details, all the comedians, tickets, everything. We'll tell you all about that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we'll give away tickets as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Sweet-ass chord right there.
This is the world-famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
That means it's time for our friend Ralph Garman with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for the whole week. Ralph, what's going on?
Oscar, Oscar, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Wow.
Did you sing that?
Yeah.
Oscars, of course, last night. That's what showbiz is talking about. We'll get to the winners in just a second. Let's take a look at the box office, though, because it is a Monday morning. Deadpool, once again, number one, $31.5 million. Deadpool passed the $600 million mark this weekend worldwide.
Wow. Whoa.
Well on its way, and they think it will break the record of being the most successful R-rated film in history, which previously, that record, currently that record belongs to Matrix Reloaded.
Oh.
So we'll wait and see if they can surpass that, but I believe it will. Good for those guys. Gods of Egypt debuted to $14 million. Is that good for a $200 million movie or not? I'm no math guy. Kung Fu Panda was third with $9 million. Risen and Eddie the Eagle debuted $6.3 million, making number five. Triple Nine, yo, debuted to $6.1 million. How to Be Single, The Witch, Race, and The Revenant.
I'm a little bit surprised that Eddie the Eagle didn't do a little better. That movie looked so charming and fun. I hope word of mouth will help it.
It was a lackluster weekend all around. So maybe next week when people don't have so many plans and parties and things that they're going to do for Oscar weekend or whatever, maybe it'll see a little bump. Word of mouth has been good. So we'll wait and see. Oscars last night, I don't know. I'm a little dense when it comes to these things. So there's a lot of opportunities for African Americans, or not a lot of opportunities. I think the
message last night is there aren't as many as there perhaps could be.
All right. I thought that was it, but it was
so subtle.
It was couched. I found it couched. The big winners, of course, last night. Spotlight winning for Best Picture. That had to be a bit of a surprise.
Not to me.
Well, no, because you're super genius. But to regular folks, a lot of people thought The Revenant was going to be the best picture. It did win for Best Director. Alejandro Iñárritu won as director for his work in The Revenant. Also a big winner from The Revenant. Leonardo DiCaprio finally getting his first actor Oscar after all these nominations.
He sure didn't look happy.
Well, the planet's melting. I think he's got that on his mind. He carries that around on his back. That's got to be.
Who's that? And it was. And at 3.5 hours, that show. That's the longest he's ever been away from the Victoria's Secret model. Too.
Word. So although I'm sure he ran off to the restroom a couple times during the show.
I hope so.
With a few of them. Brie Larson won for Best Actress for work in Room. Alicia Vikander. Any way you say it, it's twice as nice. What? She won for The Danish Girl for Best Supporting Actress. Mark Rylance, there was the surprise of the night. Sylvester Stallone passed over for Mark Rylance's work in Bridge of Spies.
Now, what did you think about that, Ralph? You saw both performances in both movies.
I did, and he's a terrific actor, but my sentimental favorite was Stallone. I was hoping he would get it. I felt bad for him, and I felt bad for me. I'm missing out on seeing him win, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I agree. It's kind of how we felt last year when we were all hoping Michael Keaton would win Best Actor, because here's a guy who's been around forever, and man, it would be a nice way to cap a career.
Yeah, I don't know if Stallone's ever gotten another shot at an Oscar.
Right.
Yeah, true.
So that was kind of sad for me. Adam McKay and Charles Randolph winning for Best Adapted Screenplay for The Big Short. That was fun to see. Best Original Screenplay went to Spotlight, and Best Animated Feature, no surprise, Inside Out. So those were your big winners for the night. See that Ennio Morricone? See my boy? Out there getting a standing ovation from the people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't they have given him a closer seat?
He was not quick to get on stage.
And he's, what, 87?
He's 100. Yeah. Yeah, I felt bad for those people in the back. They should have had one of those hoverboards just so they could stand on it.
Would have went well.
Just zoom on up there. But. Of course, the other side of the coin, the annual Razzie Awards were also handed out this weekend on Saturday night. So congratulations to the winners. Worst picture of the year was a tie. Oh, I hate when it's a tie. Fantastic Four and 50 Shades of Grey had to split the honors of being the worst film of the year. However, 50 Shades swept in a lot of categories, including worst actor and actress, Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson, both winning the worst actor and actress awards for their work in that film. Kaley Cuoco Sweeting won for worst supporting actress for two roles, The Wedding Ringer, and, of course, her voice work in Alvin and the Chipmunks' Road Chip. Eddie Redmayne won for Worst Supporting Actor for Jupiter Ascending. It is a fantastic performance. Worst Director went to Josh Trank for Fantastic Four. Worst Screen Combo, Jamie and Dakota again for 50 Shades of Grey. Worst Screenplay, 50 Shades of Grey. Come on. And Worst Remake, Ripoff, or Sequel, Fantastic Four. The Redeemer Award, the one nice award they give out at the Razzies, went to Sylvester Stallone for rebooting his career with his work in Creed.
Then I don't get an Oscar, and I don't get a Razzie. I don't get an Oscar. I don't get a Razzie up there. I'm going to fight. I'll fight the fight.
He said after the awards. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on February 29th. They're leap year babies. Self-help author Tony Robbins is 6 years old. Antonio, they only have a birthday every 4 years, you see. So. No, he's 56. Antonio Sabato Jr. is 44. And Foster the People singer Mark Foster celebrates his 32nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, right around 7:15, 7:20 or so, we'll roll out all the details on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. Who will be on the bill this year? You know, I was just thinking about it over the weekend, Kevin. I was thinking about how many great comics we've had over the years.
Yep.
Thinking about Eddie Izzard and Patton Oswalt and Sarah Silverman and Doug Benson and Joe Rogan. The list goes on and on and on. Got a whole batch to announce for you at 7:20 this morning. All the details. And we'll start giving away tickets this morning, too. That's coming up on K-Rock.
Why did they not handle the issue of racial diversity last night at the Oscars?
They yeah. just decided.
How come no one
just,
brought that
they,
up.
They just swept it under the carpet this year. It's just the white man keeping us down, Kevin. That's what happened.
It was shameful. Chris Rock as a host. Thoughts?
Outstanding.
Dull.
I thought he was outstanding.
Dull as hell.
Yeah.
Really?
I expected a lot more from Chris Rock. A lot
look,
more.
My biggest complaint about any host of any award show is after the monologue, you get them for 10 seconds at a time every 25 minutes. There's not enough of the host. They hire a great host and then don't use them for most of the time. Yeah. But I thought his monologue was great.
There were a couple of jokes sprinkled in amongst a what looked like a Saturday Night Live parody of Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. Chris Rock, I went to see him at Universal Amphitheater. He put on a one-hour show, and I was laughing the entire time. But he hasn't really been funny for a long time.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So he immediately starts talking about how weird, you know, what a weird year this was to host the Oscars.
This is the wildest, craziest Oscars to ever host because we got all this controversy. No black nominees, you know? And people are like, Chris, you should boycott. Chris, you should quit. You should quit. You know, how come it's only unemployed people that tell you to quit something, huh? Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, did that kill you?
I mean, I thought that was a good line, but that's just him getting into his chunk on race. And I thought he landed some really great jokes in the monologue.
My favorite, the one that I thought really was great, was Jada Pinkett Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
His joke about her.
Jada got mad. Jada says she's not coming. Protesting. I'm like, is she on a TV show? Jada's going to boycott the Oscars. Jada boycotting the Oscars is like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I wasn't invited.
There were a lot of very uncomfortable white people in the audience, by the way, during large portions of that monologue.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing about that. I feel like with the issue of diversity, he just sort of was a bull in a china shop and was going everywhere. He brings up that, you know, this is a weird year to host and that people thought he should, you know, not do it and boycott it and quit. But then he follows it up with how come only people without jobs tell you to quit, which was...
It felt disjointed
yes,
to you?
Yes.
Yeah. I was watching my Twitter timeline and people were like, this is it. He's nailing it, killing it. I thought it was very disjointed. And at some points, it felt to me like he felt awkward saying things. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. I don't know. I had a hard time with it, too. I wasn't watching Twitter, but I really was. I just felt like, okay, we've addressed the elephant in the room, mm-hmm. so let's move on and have the Oscars. But that was not the case, no. He talked about how this is the 88th, so maybe 71 of them had the same issue. But in 1962, Chris Rock actually said this. When your grandma's hanging from a tree, it's sort of hard to care about best cinematography.
Yeah.
So I thought that hurt. Did you think that was funny, B?
I mean, look, it's awfully edgy for an awards show, that's for sure. And I think there are definitely some people who thought he went over the line beyond beyond just being humorous and just being straight up political, and that turned a lot of people off.
I think it would have helped if he was humorous. That would have helped.
That would have helped you.
Yeah.
All right, tough
just,
room.
His batting average was really low. He did a pretty long monologue, and there were a couple of laughs in it.
Yeah.
But I was expecting from Chris Rock, you know, Chris Rock-like comedy where he's really nailing it and nailing it. And I didn't feel like that at all.
All right.
So then he talks about how the Oscars are going to be different now.
You know, this year the Oscars, things are going to be a little different. Things are going to be a little different at the Oscars. This year, in the In Memoriam package, it's just going to be black people that were shot by the cops on their way to the movies.
That was the most surprising joke of the night for me.
Okay. No, I agree with you, but it just wasn't funny. He wasn't funny.
Yeah, he was. That was that. I mean, he was definitely making a point there.
Yeah.
And he wasn't interested in humor at that point on that line.
And then he talked about, you know, is Hollywood racist? And he went into a 15-minute story about he and President Obama. And I'm not even positive what the story meant. I mean, it just went on forever. And it wasn't really sharp like you would think it would be. So, all right, let's move on. Let's move on to something else that happened at the Oscars. The production design is not a category that I necessarily care about. But when Steve Carell and Tina Fey go up, they were funny.
Production designers take us to beautiful new worlds. The interior of a spaceship.
The thing where a bear lives.
An art studio in 1920s Copenhagen.
Tom Hanks's house?
A tyrant's mountain lair in a dystopian steampunk future.
What?
Tina has been drinking. But that should not take away from the beautiful work of this year's nominees for Best Production Design.
The nominees are...
I love Tina, and there has never been a time where she's been on an award show where she hasn't killed it.
Agreed.
She's great.
I wish she was hosting. That would have been great. C-3PO comes out, and I think was probably Allie's highlight of the night. No?
My highlight was seeing the little boy from Room jump up out of his seat.
Yeah, that was cute.
When that happened.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's all of us.
Before you play this yes. clip, I think they tried hard to do some different things to shake up the presentation of the Oscars, and I give them a lot of credit for that. I mean, some of the things that they were doing with the screens behind them and, like, the way they brought out Andy Serkis and they showed you him in the Planet of the Apes movies and things like that, I mean, I think they did some very inventive things. And this was a good idea on paper, I think, bringing out R2-D2 and C-3PO and BB-8. But they didn't really have anything to say.
Yeah.
That was my problem with it, is I thought it looked good and it was clever and timely, but it didn't seem like they spent very much time writing it out for them.
Yeah, they were doing some jokes about where are our seats, you were supposed to get the seats. That was weird, but then they did look in the audience and find John Williams and talk about his music.
Actually, I do not look like him. He happens to look rather like me. How do you think we made it this far? Where? Oh, my, it is John Williams. Oh, I always enjoy hearing his music. He is so very talented.
Okay.
Okay, because John Williams writes the Star Wars music.
Star Wars music. He does the music for Star Wars,
Louis C.K. I loved.
Very funny.
Louis C.K. talking about documentary short feature.
Thank you. I'm here to present the award for Best Documentary Short Film, which is my favorite award. It really is, because this is the one Academy Award that has an opportunity to change a life. I mean, I'm happy for all of you, but you came here winners and you're leaving millionaires. It's not going to make that big a difference. These people, this is documentary short film. You cannot... It's not even a documentary feature, you know? Al Gore got one of those and Michael Moore got... This is no... You cannot make a dime on this. So this Oscar means... something, because all they do is tell stories that are important. Now, you all do, but you also get rich. But these people, all they got is this Oscar is going home in a Honda Civic.
He's funny. He was funny. That was good.
Very funny.
Sacha Baron Cohen came out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Unnecessary.
I loved it.
Of course
I did.
You did. It was so painful.
It was, but that's that character. That's what that character is about. That character is always painful when you watch him interviewing people. He knows nothing about what's really going on and he thinks he does. Ali G is the name of the character, and it's a white rapper that thinks he's black, basically.
Booyakasha. I know what you was thinking when I walked on. Here comes yet another token black presenter. But it ain't just me brethren that has been overlooked. It is all people of all colors. How come there is no Oscar for them very hard-working little yellow people with tiny dongs? You know, the minions. But I is here representing all them who has been overlooked. Will Smith, Idris Elba. And of course, the amazing black bloke from Star Wars, Darth Vader.
Not funny. Mm-mm. Let it go. Were you disappointed there wasn't a Night at the Roxbury sketch also, Kevin?
No, I just like that because that's that character. It's perfect for this situation because he so doesn't get the fact that he
Ali
doesn't
G
get the fact.
Thumbs up, Chris Rock thumbs down from Kevin.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And then something happened that I don't know that I've ever seen, which is every time you go along with a speech, they start playing you off. Yeah. And at some point, they cut off your microphone. But the best director, he won it for, which one was it? Revenant.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he was given his speech, and the music started, and he just kept talking.
Oh, yeah.
He waited him out until the music ended, and they were like, okay, what do we do now? He could have gone on forever.
Tribal thinking, and make sure for once and forever that the color of his skin become as irrelevant as the length of our hair. This is for my father. Thank you very much.
They literally just ended up quitting. The band just went, okay.
They gave up.
You win.
Mr. In the Year 2, by the way, won the Academy Award last year for Best Directing, also for Birdman. He's the first guy in 65 years to win back-to-back directing Oscars.
Yeah, impressive. The last one was Mankiewicz.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Spotlight won Best Picture. And then Chris Rock came back out and really just nailed the goodbye.
I want to invite everybody here to the BET Awards this summer. And I just want to say good night. This has been an amazing experience. Congratulate all our Oscar winners. Buy some Girl Scout cookies. Black Lives Matter. Thank you, Brooklyn.
Did you guys hear that?
Uh-uh.
As he was walking away from the microphone, he saw somebody that I didn't even know who he was hugging, but he said, "You won, mother effer."
Hot alive, Mike.
What about Fight the Power? As the closing music.
Yeah.
As it was so weird.
And then he said, buy some Girl Scout cookies, Black Lives Matter. That was odd. I don't know. I felt like
that's their new slogan.
I felt like it was a swing and a miss by him. And that long ass buy some Girl Scout cookies thing in the middle. Holy crap.
Remember when Ellen did that with pizza and we all said no. No.
Yeah. I don't know. Overall it was super dull.
Yeah.
Super dull.
Yeah.
And Chris Rock was super dull with some funny lines in there, but super dull. Didn't like it.
I'm with you, Kevin.
Not a fan. Bean? Go so far as to be not a fan. Bean, scale of 1 to 10.
Scale of 1 to 10 on the whole broadcast?
Yeah.
Look, hear my whole thing.
Two.
On that. I've decided that the Academy Awards are not for the public, and I have been able to not be angry at them as a result of realizing it's not for us. It's for them. It's for the people in the room. We don't care about sound design and costume and all the other boring awards that make the show so long. So once I started thinking of it in terms of it's a private party, we're just peeking in, I can't be that mad at it. It is what it is, and it's never going to change because that's how the Oscars go.
But it's for them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And what do you mean by them?
Racist. The people in the industry.
Oh.
Monday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show, we like to catch up with our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. How are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great. Got a lot of stuff we want to talk to you about, but I have to tell you a funny story, Harvey. I was listening to a podcast over the weekend, and Jimmy Pardo was being interviewed on the show. And he was talking about, the hosts were asking him about the time when Conan had the Tonight Show briefly before he lost it.
Right.
And it went to TMZ. And in the course of the interview, they were asking, how did you guys find out? Were there meetings? Were there updates?
Oh, no.
He's like, we got everything off of TMZ.com. That's the only, that was our only source of what was happening with our own job. He heard it from TMZ. Conan heard it from TMZ. That's where you were the one who was telling them they were losing their jobs.
Oh.
That's kind of true.
I was so surprised by that because
I don't blame that on us. I blame it on the network.
Absolutely.
Yes, of course.
That's crazy.
Of course. Like, the fact that NBC wasn't keeping them posted and telling them what was happening and they had to hear it from you, I just couldn't even imagine what that was like. But I wanted to make sure that you knew and you got the credit for that because I just thought that was sad but also hilarious.
Yeah, no, it's funny. But boy, NBC was crappy to them.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Harvey knows everything before it happens.
Yeah.
He has some way of knowing, crystal ball something. I don't know. He tells the future.
Well, I certainly didn't know this was going to happen at the Oscars.
Well, what in particular are you talking about?
I was appalled.
You really? Because Kevin was just saying the same thing, that he was very disappointed in Chris Rock. You as well?
Well, it wasn't even so much Chris Rock. I watched 3 hours of self-flagellation that, you know, I went into this thinking, you know what, they're just probably people who are out of touch and, you know, they'll do better. And I left it thinking, okay, they're racist because, you know, and I'll tell you why. All those produced pieces, Tracy Morgan, the movie theater stuff, all that stuff that mocked the Academy. You know who produced that, right?
No, who?
Well, the Academy produced it. Yeah, they're the ones that put it on TV. Chris Rock can't just roll tape in a rogue way. They did it. So they knew how stupid they were for what they did and made fun of it. And if they're this conscious of how stupid they were, then it wasn't just being out of touch. They just are thumbing their nose at people, because otherwise, why would they spend 3 hours basically doing the same joke over and over and over again?
Well, here's the only thing I'll say about that, Harvey. I don't disagree with you, but remember, the Academy, the people who run the show and run the Academy may have one mindset, but they can't control who their members vote for. And that's where the problem has been, is that the members are so old and so white that they're not voting for people of color. Doesn't mean the people who are running the show or running the Academy feel that way.
Does it seem weird to you that you would have this progressive group? And I'm not trying to paint everybody with the same brush, but how can you say that you would have members with, all the members have one sensibility, but they vote in people to lead them who have a completely separate sensibility, and the two never connect?
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Ali, tell Harvey what we were just talking about right during that last break.
Which part? You do this all the time to me. What? Because
we just had a conversation where you were like, hey, what about the Asians?
Oh, my whole thing was people of color is pretty large. Asians, Hispanics, Indian. What about them? There was no addressing of them at all, except when you brought Asian kids on stage to make fun of them. That was awful.
I thought of the same thing, that it was just, you know, they are like lemmings, that group, they will latch onto something, and then everybody just looks at that one thing. It's like a shiny object, and they say, oh, we're going to go to the shiny object, and everybody just focuses on the object, and they don't look at everything else that's around them. And I agree. I mean, it's bigger than just one group, and that all got lost.
All right, let me ask you this then, Harvey, and I hear what you're saying. Could it have something to do with the African-American minority has been the most outspoken because they get the press for Jada Pinkett Smith and what she says? They get Al Sharpton out protesting in front of the event. I mean, they're a lot more top of mind because they're much more proactive.
Okay, so then what you got to do is you got to mount a boycott for you know, these progressive people in this industry to say, oh, God, you got us running scared now. I mean, that's kind of the way they're running the railroad.
And I think that's what's happening. And I think next year, white man can't get a nomination. That's what I think. I think this is the last year we've seen this happen. Don't you hear me?
I thought the funniest thing that I saw was the beginning of the show. They put every black person in they possibly could in that opening scene.
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did. Yeah. Yes, they did.
it was almost embarrassing.
It was transparent.
Exactly, yeah.
It was so transparent.
We have been talking about the Academy Awards since we came on, Harvey, but you know what we haven't mentioned yet, and I'd like to get your take on it, is a lot of people thought the most powerful moment of the night was Lady Gaga doing her Oscar-nominated song on stage with a bunch of other sexual abuse survivors. How did that play for you?
Amazing. Absolutely. I got to tell you something. I thought she was fine. I mean, I wasn't like a big Lady Gaga fan until, like, 3 months ago, and all of a sudden you see her, you know, at the Super Bowl, and then you see what she does here, and you know, and she's had just an amazing year as an actress, and it's like, oh my God, this woman is phenomenal. And I don't know, it was like, that was one moment where I just felt like I was there. You know, when I was watching it, it was so incredibly powerful. And powerful not just because of the survivors on stage, just listening to her on how she can translate something. I just thought, did you see Diane Warren in the audience just for this fleeting moment? Diane wrote the song.
I thought she was going to faint.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to faint,
too. She was so moved.
It was so powerful, and Diane wrote it, and I thought she could barely handle it. It was so powerful.
Yeah, it was a pretty great performance. How about Sam Smith's performance? What did you think of that?
I thought it was great.
I thought
Sam Smith was great.
Oh, really, dear.
Do. Are you talking about his acceptance speech, or are you talking
No. His performance of Writings on the Wall. You liked it, Ali? You did not?
I thought it was the most painful thing I've heard in a long time.
Wow.
And I
wow.
love Sam Smith.
Really?
I think he's amazing. And that, I don't know if just the song is awful, which, let's be honest, the song is awful. But his performance, like, a little pitchy, dog.
He also is only 23. Doesn't he look 40? What's up with that?
Well, look, if he does look 40, the great thing is that people who look 40 when they're 20 usually look 40 when they're 60. So
yeah.
on the back end, you win.
All right. When are we going to find out about the ratings, Harvey? And what's your prediction on how they will do with as a result of all of the talk of the racial diversity issue? You think that's going to help or hurt the ratings for last night?
I think it'll – here's my guess, and who knows. My guess is it'll start out really strong, and then it'll go off a cliff about an hour and a half.
Yeah, you could be right. All right, well, we'll keep our eyes on TMZ.com for all the stories and all the things like they do. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4 on Fox, the original TMZ throughout the day, also on Channel 11. TMZ Sports airs Monday through Friday on the Fox Sports 1 at midnight. And, of course, the hilarious new game show South of Wilshire, Monday through Friday on Channel 13 at 5:30. Harvey, thanks for the time, sir. Have a great week.
You too, guys.
Thank you. About 7:15 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we roll out all the details for this year's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2016. Looking forward to that. Always one of the most fun days of the year. Always one of the best comedy nights anywhere in the country all year long is our show. And we raise a lot of money for charity, so those details are coming up. This story out of Pennsylvania caught a lot of people by surprise. Arthur Samarin is his name. He had been in the country for about 4 years or so. He came from where? The Ukraine, right?
Ukraine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
23 years old, and he was just busted when it was revealed that he had been impersonating a high school student. He came to America 4 years ago. He had already graduated from high school back home in the Ukraine and 2 years of college. Then he moved to America, got a fake ID using the name Asher Potts. Don't know how he was able to do that. And then enrolled in high school as a freshman. He was only a couple of months away from graduating high school with his fake ID and his fake age when he was busted.
Why do you think he would do that? That's a strange choice.
If there was one place I would never go back to, it would be high school.
I have no idea. He was at Harrisburg High School. He was a member of the National Honor Society. He was actively involved in the school. He was working with the food bank. He was in the school's ROTC and Naval Sea Cadet program. I mean, this guy was Mr. High School, but he was 23 years old.
He's a ringer.
What do you think? Why would he do that? That's a great question, Kevin. What do you think the answer is?
I don't know, because if you're in the United States and you lose your paperwork or you don't have your visa, it runs out or whatever, who thinks high school? Let's do
high
that.
School.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to find out more about it, so we asked Dave if there's any chance we could talk to Mr. Samarin, and I believe we have him on the phone. 23-year-old, just busted as being a high school student, Arthur Samarin, on the line with us right now. Hey, Arthur, how are you?
Please, my name is Asher.
Well, that's that was your English.
Your alias, yes.
Please for to be calling me Asher Potts, who is what I am.
Well, you're not anymore, though. It's been revealed that that's a fake name and a fake ID.
It's a big misunderstanding.
Oh,
I am a teenager.
Okay.
This is so crazy, I can't even.
Oh, well, he is a teen.
He sure is.
With all this crazy, so much. Boy, is my bae upset about this all happening. I'll tell you that much. Right?
Okay,
right.
But
it's crazy town, yo.
Right, but it just sounds like you're saying things that you've heard in the halls. I don't believe that's how you really talk.
No, I'm actual teenager. And I'm so upsetting that everything is happening now to me.
Right.
It's I'm like, damn, Daniel. why are you harshing down on my mellow? Yes.
No.
You understand, though, it's against the law to use a fake ID, right? And you were in the country illegally as your visa expired from the Ukraine.
I would never do such thing. I am Asher Potts, as I mentioned before, previously.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I am a teenager to the max, yo.
Well, you're 23, though, Arthur.
No, this I'm trying to tell you so much. Oh, I'm amazeballed that you can't understand my situation. I am just a teenager, American teenager, Asher Potts.
Uh-huh.
And I wear mad kicks, yo.
Right.
My Vans are always on fleek.
Okay. Dropping a lot of lingo, aren't you?
And so it is one big misunderstanding, and I'm liking now to be out of jail. Please. If you please open door.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen with that, but I suspect that they're going to send you back to the Ukraine. It would be my guess is you're going to have to leave America.
Oh, that would be so lit if that were to happen.
I think that means good. So you want to go back to the Ukraine?
Anti-lit.
Okay.
If that were to happen. They're just putting me in here because, first of all, I am an excellent student. Mm-hmm. I am a ROTC captain.
Yeah, very busy.
I am a model teenager for everyone. Uh-huh. So they are just jelly.
Well,
everybody jelly of ash and pots. And now, for please to let me out of this jail cell again. Please.
I think they're not jelly as much as they realize you broke the law.
How many times I must be asking open jail cell door?
Well, that's not how it works either. It
doesn't work that way.
Oh, I am so upset in my skinny pants and beanie.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning, and then we're going to take your telephone calls for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. This is where we turn the show over to you. You can call on any topic. You know, we've been talking about the Academy Awards broadcast last night. There's a bunch of stuff we haven't even gotten to yet.
Right.
Like, isn't Paul McCartney still alive? Why is Dave Grohl singing Blackbird during the memorial?
It was an odd choice.
It was a weird choice.
It was an awesome choice. I loved that version.
But wouldn't it have made more sense to have Paul McCartney do it?
Maybe he wasn't
interested. The man who wrote it and sang it?
Maybe Paul is standing with the withers.
Well, maybe he is. I don't know. Anyway, if you want to talk about the Oscars, or maybe we got some Ducks fans out there would like to call today, anything on your mind on any topic, the KKK rally, if you were there, we want to hear from you. So give us a call right
now. I assume that went well. I didn't see anything about it over the weekend.
Pizza cake. Yeah, it was very nice. They had an interesting open discussion. Everybody walked away a little smarter, I think.
That's what I assumed.
And Chip's fan played there.
Or there was stabbings. Or there might have been stabbings. I can't remember. It was either one or the other. Huh. It was a peaceful, intelligent exchange of viewpoints, or there were stabbings.
Stabbings and multiple arrests.
Yes.
So any of those topics or whatever else is on your mind, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Questions, comments, concerns. We want to talk to you next. First, here's Ralph.
Yeah, speaking of Chip, how'd your little band thing go this weekend? How'd that all work out
awesome.
For you?
Awesome. Sold out. 400 people.
What?
Yep.
Nice. That's ridiculous.
Totes. To see me? I know. It's a bad choice.
Oh, you just said totes. No, I'm not talking to you anymore.
No, Chip's back in high school under a fake name.
I didn't know that.
One of her band members did try to kill her, though, by throwing her into the audience.
But that's like, what'd they do? Put her on a paper airplane and just sailed her around the room? What happened?
I did some crowd surfing. It was awesome.
Somebody was like, hey, what the heck? Somebody just hit me with a paper cup? No, that was the bassist. Oh, really? It's weird. Just sitting on my shoulder now. Ratings are in for Oscar. Oscar!
That was fast.
Yeah, see? You ask, I get. That's how this show works.
Not normally.
Nope. Oscar ratings are in a 7-year low.
Wow.
According to the early numbers.
So black man can't get ratings, that's what you're saying?
I think people maybe were afeared they were going to be...
Lectured to?
Talked to. Preached at.
And they were.
And they were a little bit, but...
I think there were a lot of movies that people didn't see as well.
I think so. Yeah. I think a lot of the nominees and nominated films and actors were not exactly things that people cared about so much.
And don't you feel like, Ralph, now there are so many awards shows that you kind of know in almost every category who's going to win? I mean, there's no surprise.
It also, I think, waters down the product in the sense that how many acceptance speeches do you need to watch? How many people do you need to see up on stage? Even if they're different winners, the process and the show is basically the same. You know, some of the moving parts are interchanged, but... I think there's just so many awards that you just get numb to it after.
And they changed up the order of the awards this year.
Yeah, they did this year. They put it in order of how they make a film. That was their thought behind it. Well, look, I'm always on the side that Bean vocalized earlier today, which was I feel this is an industry banquet. You know, this is mm-hmm. this is like if these people were brewmasters and they were giving out the, you know. The beer awards or whatever, and you'd have to talk to the guy who makes the hops and the guy who does the barrels and the guy who does in bottling. It's here for Jim in bottling. They did a great job this year, didn't
Jim.
They? And you give out the certificates or the awards or whatever. It is. It's an industry event, and they have to pay homage to all the people it takes to put these
They also put
together.
It on TV.
Right, but that's
from that standpoint.
That's so you can watch if you're interested. If you want to peek into the room and watch them give out their industry awards, then that's on you. But I think that they always seem to fall flat when they try too much to make it a TV show because inherently it's not a good product to televise.
Yeah, I can see that.
And so I think the more you try to make it a funny, hilarious show, the more you fall on your face because it just doesn't support it, you got Chris Rock selling cookies at some point.
Yeah, and for a long time.
And then what? The what?
It was over 3.5 hours, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Him talking about the cookies? Yes. It seemed like it was
just that
long.
That section?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, there you go. People did not watch last night. But, still, some nice people took away some nice shiny things. What more can you ask for? Hey, I want to give you a heads up. Yoko Ono did not have a stroke, so everyone can relax. It's all right. We're all good. Stroke. Remember last week? They said she was taken to the hospital because of a stroke, but it turns out she just had the flu.
She can still sing, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe she had a stroke here.
Nope.
Did we think of that?
No strokes.
Right there is where the aneurysm burst.
No, she's fine. She was a little dehydrated. They gave her an IV and sent her home, so everyone can relax. Yoko's going to be with us for many, many years. And in more music news, is there a band more cursed than the Eagles of death metal? I mean, I would think Chip was their bassist, the way the run they've been on lately. You don't flip me off, Bridget. First of all, of course, the whole thing went on with the Bataclan was just a horrible tragedy and devastating to anybody. And the fact that they went back and played after that, I thought was just so brave of them. But now they had to cancel the rest of their European tour because their guitarist, Jesse Hughes, tore a tendon in his finger.
Oh, no.
Wow.
So obviously he cannot play guitar. And so the last 8 shows of their tour has had to be canceled. The group still plans on doing 5 concerts and a South American tour in March. But I guess that we have to wait and see how he recovers. But sad news for those guys, and I wish they would have some better luck. They've earned it. And everyone can relax. So a lot of tweeting after the Grammy Awards, days later, when all the awards were posted, but that Kim Kardashian had won a Grammy. Everybody was up in arms. How could that be? And what's going on? And this is unacceptable. And I never knew she played viola.
What's happening?
You said Grammy. Did you mean Oscar?
No, Grammy Awards.
Oh, Grammy. Okay. I'm sorry.
Because there was a classical viola player named Kim Kashkashian.
That's unfortunate.
Kim Kashkashian won a Grammy Award for Best Classical Instrumental Solo. And when the total awards list was released, someone on the internet caught it and thought it said Kim Kardashian and started putting around how I'd even know Kim Kardashian played viola and how could she win a Grammy. This is unacceptable and they've gone too far and everyone needs to relax.
Wrong.
It's Kim Kashkashian, not Kim Kardashian, who won the Grammy. Kim Kashkashian is a middle-aged classical musician and a mom. And she said it happens all the time.
But she's married to Kanye.
No, yes. She's not. That's the point I'm trying to make. Is that.
But this one has a sex tape, though.
No,
right?
This
viola
one
player
does not.
Oh,
she says she gets it when she even uses her credit card. Sometimes people say you're not Kim Kardashian. I'm like, please just read the card more carefully.
Oh, that would be frustrating.
That would be.
That's very unfortunate. You know, we've done that phone topic before, where somebody famous comes along and just screws up your life through no fault of your own. That's bad.
But it's not even the same name.
I
just
know
people being sloppy.
I saw an article over the weekend, Ralph, about a hair salon in Australia that is named Trump's Hair Salon,
The
misery that they're going through, and they're considering changing the name of the place.
They
that
only
had
do
for
the one cut. they shave the top of your head and then comb the rest of your hair over on top of it. Today's celebrity birthdays, self-help author Tony Robbins is 56 years old.
Huge head.
He is, he's a Frankenstein monster is what
the
he is.
The biggest head of any human who can stand.
Yeah. He looks like one of the statues from Easter Island. You familiar with the Easter Island statues?
Yeah.
Kevin, you're not.
No, I'm not, actually.
You're
no.
Not. I don't know why I was looking in your direction. Mm. But if you knew what I was talking about, you'd say, oh, that's funny.
I'll just say it. Oh, that's funny.
Antonio Sabato Jr., my arch nemesis, my sworn enemy.
He's
44 years old today. Because he claims to be the biggest Batman fan in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
Antonio Sabato Jr.
Sorry about that.
We're gonna have to have a bat down or a bat off or whatever you do when that happens.
Hate to see a bat beef.
Hate to see a bat beef. And Mark Foster from Foster the People. He's 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About 10 to 15 minutes away from all the details you need to know on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. That announcement right around the corner. But first, 1-800-520-1067. That's our number. It's time for your phone calls on any topic, including last night's Academy Awards broadcast. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
good indeed. Why don't we start with our man Jordan? He was the first caller through from Woodland Hills. He's on line one. I understand he's pretty fired up about Chris Rock last night. Hey, Jordan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How's it going?
It's going great. You watched the Oscars last night. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, overall, the show was cool. I just felt like, you know, I know there's a lot of controversy with Chris Rock even going through with it, and he did. I'm happy he did. I love Chris Rock. I just felt like, you know, the whole racism thing was just kind of over the top. I know that it was going to be talked about, and that's fine. And I you know, I knew it would happen. But it just came a time when he was just hitting the nail on the head.
You thought he was beating a dead horse. You thought the point was made. He should have moved on and done some other things.
Absolutely. And then it became a point where it was just uncomfortable for, like, everyone. And you can just see, like, you know, the cameras are panning around the audience and, like, I believe at one point you see Chrissy Teigen, his husband is black, and she's just like, "Oh man."
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Jordan, because the screenshot that went viral last night was Chrissy Teigen just with that look on her face when Stacey Dash came out. I think that was like the low, and that joke just bombed. That just fell super flat.
And there's another joke, like I believe when he called out the first announcers. He was like, here's, you know, some white woman and an even whiter woman.
Yes.
And I believe it was Charlize Theron that came out, and they acted like they didn't even hear the joke. And, I mean, they a lot of the announcers, they kind of like came out and played off real cool. Like, you know, the jokes didn't really bother them and stuff. And I think that was really professional.
I got it. All right. So you're saying you expected him to cover it. You didn't expect him to make it the whole show. I understand. I think that's a legitimate
really
point.
He did make it uncomfortable. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jordan. Sorry.
Happen.
Appreciate the call.
It happens.
Let's try.
That's on me, though. That's my bad.
Let's try Thaddeus in.
What are you calling about?
I'm talking about how Leonardo DiCaprio actually got an Oscar last night.
Yes, this was his sixth nomination, and he finally won. And I'm telling you, if he hadn't won this one, I don't know what more he could have done than what he put himself through with The Revenant. I mean, he practically died making that movie. Like, this guy was going to do whatever it took to win an Academy Award.
Yeah, and I'm surprised he didn't get it with The Great Gatsby. That was an awesome movie.
Look, he's a great actor. He's been great in everything he's done. I mean, he's one of those guys on the short list of people who are so good and had never won an Oscar.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's who we're talking about. Mm. Thaddeus, thank you for calling. Let me ask you guys this question. What do you think about the people like Leonardo DiCaprio who have their moment on the stage with 80 million people watching or whatever it is and choose to talk politics? Does it bother you, or do you not blame them because it's an issue that they're passionate about and they're taking advantage of the opportunity? They got a lot of eyes on them. Like Leo talked about climate change last night. Adam McKay talked about supporting Bernie Sanders. Do you not want that on your Oscars, or do you think it's cool because that's their moment? They can do whatever they want with it.
Well, they can do whatever they want with it, but I didn't find it that it helped anything. I wasn't into it, but I mean, they could do it, of course.
Does it? It bothers
me a little.
It bothers you? Yeah. No, how about you, Allie?
I don't want to hear who to vote for. I don't want to hear any of that. Shut up. I'm just saying. Like,
these are actors, and it's the Oscars.
You are multi-gazillionaires. Don't tell me how to live my life.
But if it weren't for actors, Allie, we wouldn't know who to vote for. You understand that's how it works, right?
That's a good point.
My bad.
All right, let's try Al in Walnut. He's up next. He's on line five. Kevin and Bean shows What's Good, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Al. Thanks for calling. What's good?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Type.
So last night at the Oscars, I noticed this one thing. There was like two kids presenting for animation or something, the black kid and white kid. And at one point, Chris Rock came to bring up like boxes so that they both could stand on to get to the microphone.
Right, right.
And I noticed like the white kid, he put the boxes away from like to the microphone. The black kid had the mic to himself. I thought it was kind of funny.
Because the little white kid can't get a mic? How come Whitey can't get a mic? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
That was Jacob Tremblay, I think is his name. He's the kid from The Room. He's a very, very funny little boy, very talented little boy. But he may not have understood leaning into the mic. I think he didn't realize how off mic he was because he's, I don't know, eight or whatever it is. I don't think it was a conspiracy. I think it just worked out that way. I mean, the black kid was a lot older and I think a lot more used to talking into microphones.
Right. I just thought it was kind of funny. It was just coincidence or was just the timing of it all.
It was coincidence, but he was 1,000 miles from the microphone.
He was. It was very funny. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Let's go to Anaheim. is going to be Eric. Remember we were talking about the KKK rally?
Yeah.
In Anaheim, stabbing and arrests. Eric, you live across the street from that park?
Yeah.
What was... I'm not blaming you, Eric.
Don't be so defensive. You're calling about it.
Were you home? Did you see it with your own eyes?
I was home, but I didn't go. Like, stuff always happens in that park all the time. But, I don't know. It was just like, whatever. And then I went outside once everything was over and done.
That is great analysis.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, why is the KKK still around? That's it, most likely.
Because people are morons, that's why. Because people can believe whatever they want. Look, there are people who believe the earth is flat, okay? I mean, there are always going to be people who believe dumb things. But the beauty of America is we allow that. And if the KKK wants to have a rally, they should be able to have a rally without getting beat up.
Well, I get that. You know, like, have a rally, like, in the South. But in California, it's so tiring to be racist.
Yes, I agree it is. But the flip side of that coin is we allow it here. We allow people to peaceably assemble, and they should be allowed to assemble without being stabbed.
We don't allow it in all cases, apparently.
Well, the people that did the stabbing, they're a bunch of just kids. They're a bunch of punker kids that hang out there every day.
Yeah.
And some random people that are there, like...
Well, they ought to wake up this morning. They ought to be thinking about what they've done, because they are the ones who look bad in a conversation about the Klan. They're the ones who are the assholes. So maybe they need to rethink some of their decisions. What's good? I was just trying to remind people that we're doing the announcement.
Yeah. The video you put up?
I just put up a little video on Saturday afternoon. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, hey, people may not realize that it's April Fool's this time. We're going to roll out the details, so
right.
I just put up a little video.
Uh-huh.
And why you gotta poop on that?
Well, I just feel like if there's a video that's cropped really at the neck,
uh-huh.
There's a lot more going on there that we don't want to know. That's my guess.
Well, I mean,
he's in the woods. I'm guessing he has a white panel van. I don't know. I'm not positive exactly.
Why do you assume? Because you can only see my face in this video that I have no pants on.
Because you're hiding a lot.
I'm not hiding anything.
What do you have to hide, Bean?
I'm not hiding anything.
What do you have to hide?
I was just walking my dog. Here's the audio from the video that I put up on Saturday.
Hey, you guys, it's me, Bean, enjoying a beautiful Saturday afternoon here in the Great Pacific Northwest. I'm walking my dog. Hey, Linus.
And by the way, a lot of people are like...
Yeah, it's awfully Blair Witch up there.
There are trees. It's just trees. That's not creepy. There's nothing creepy. Why does everybody try to make everything I do creepy?
We don't try to make it that.
It comes from your end.
It
was a beautiful Saturday afternoon.
The bad guy is in your house.
Just wanted to thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show last week. And if you missed any episodes, don't forget you can always catch them on iTunes via the podcast or at krock.com. And don't miss Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll roll out all the details for this year's April Foolishness at 7:20. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Perfectly
very helpful.
And sure. Helpful, yeah. Right? And inoffensive and uncreepy. And no one was abducted. There was no van.
That we know of, but you're not showing us very much. So I'm saying there's a lot going on there that we're not aware of.
Look, the less you see of this body, the better. We all know.
Agreed.
That. I think this is the seventh year, if I'm doing the math correctly, that we have put on a comedy show. And it is one of our favorite nights of the year because we are so lucky to have this job and get to meet so many very funny people that are generously donating their time for great local charities. We got a lot to tell you about this year's show. Now, how does this work? Do we play the announcement
first
and come back? All right, let's play the announcement. The details you need to know for Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2016. Hit it, Steve.
La 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 la. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, Saturday, April 2nd, at the Shrine with Bill Maher.
Dude, you can't say hi to kids anymore. I love kids. I love kids. I like making faces at them on the airplane, making them laugh. Now parents are like, is that sex offender? Is that...
Gabriel Iglesias.
I don't even have a clue as to where to find a pregnancy test. I'm looking at all the aisles. They don't have one that says, oops.
Bob Saget.
I don't want to offend anybody. I want to offend everybody.
Eliza Schlesinger.
There's no elegant way to wipe off a sweat mustache.
Eddie F.
I get to get drunk at work. In fact, I get funnier the drunker I get.
Greg Fitzsimmons.
You've never done coke? Okay, do coke.
Walker Jr.
Fight. Fart until the end, and then we wake up and we'll do it all again.
That
is going to be a funny show.
Yeah, so funny I forgot to laugh.
It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine. Tickets on sale Friday at noon at AXS.com. Proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. Go to KROQ.com for details.
That's going to be a good show.
That is going to be a great show. Look, you had me at Bill Burr.
Right?
Do you need anything else? Is he maybe the best stand-up in America today?
So
our friend Bob Saget on the bill this year. Eddie F., Fluffy himself, Gabriel Iglesias is going to be there. We're so happy to have Greg Fitzsimmons on the bill for the first time. Eliza Schlesinger is going to be there. And our little musical friend Wheeler Walker Jr. also. It's all going to be on Saturday, April the 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium. See all those acts on one stage in one night. And as Kevin mentioned, great charities again this year, the Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Let's talk a little bit about the various tickets, the different kinds of prices and availability that we have.
Well, they start at $25, and then they go up for the if you want to sit right in the front in the section right where you can actually get spit on. Mm-hmm. That's called the "That's My Jawn" section. That's
what
my jawn.
One more time.
That's my jawn.
So Fluffy will sweat on you. That's how close you're going to be.
Yes.
The "That's My Jawn" section, by the way.
Oh,
that's the,
please deliver it, man.
I can't do it the way you do it. That is the top ticket. That's $99. And that includes premier seating, VIP parking, a one-hour reception with the Kevin and Bean Show, and a "That's My Jawn" t-shirt. That's $99. And then, you know, depending on where you want to be in the orchestra, the loge, or the balcony, or something like that, we got all sorts of different price points. And we work really hard to keep these prices low. And again, you know, thanks so much to the comedians that show up, because they do perform for free because it's for charity. But I mean, $25 to get in to see the show, right?
Tickets on sale Friday at noon. This Friday at noon at AXS.com. And it's going to be a great show. I'm so excited. I agree with Bean. I would go see Bill Burr just by himself.
I'd pay $99 just to see
Same.
Bill Burr.
Gabriel Iglesias sells out Honda Center.
I sold out Madison Square Garden.
Right. It's crazy. It's crazy that these huge comedians are doing our show, but we do appreciate it. The proceeds do go to Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU, and it's April 2nd, and you can buy tickets this Friday.
Just announced moments ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, the details for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. It's going to be an all-star night of comedy on April 2nd at the Shrine with Bill Burr, also Bob Saget, Eddie Ift, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, and the hilarious Wheeler Walker Jr. Get all the details at KROQ.com. The tickets go on sale this Friday at noon at AXS.com. You do not want to miss out on a chance to go see this show. It's going to be fun.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day, you can leave a message on any topic. If let's say you're immensely talented and people don't notice it, call in.
Are we assuming that that is a young Armenian friend of ours from Glendale?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
You guys aren't even funny, man. You know what is funny? Yo, mama.
Got us there.
He did get us there.
Yeah.
Remember when Muggs is at the Grammys and he had a couple of really eye-opening questions?
I think you might be talking about this one.
Were a lot of learning experiences.
And perhaps this one from the same day?
Tell me about you.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you've been on the radio for a long time. Were there a lot of learning experience? Tell me about you, beer mug, ass.
Beer mug, though, wins every argument with this.
The Cobb salad, on point.
Can't argue with that.
Nope. It's true. This guy's upset at Ralph for two different stances that he took on two different issues.
You can color, but I can't play with Legos? F*** you, Ralph Garman.
He's got a point.
Yeah, Ralph came down pretty hard on the adult Lego fans.
Kevin! Quack! Quack, Kevin! Kevin, quack! Quack!
I don't even know what that is. What's that?
I'm not sure.
Understand it.
No.
I believe the Ducks may have won a game, and I think he was called.
At the end of the year, every year, we do a top 10 list of, intros.
Dude, it is February. If that's not in the top 10 in December, I'm going to burn the mother down. Ice movies. Yeah, yeah.
Ice movies. Ice movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
It was pretty strong.
People like a lot of strange things about the show. This guy just likes to hear Allie trying to breathe.
I love to hear Allie gasp for air while she's laughing.
daddy likey.
Oh, see, Bean, do you hear it now? Do you hear
Wow, did he make that creepy?
Oh, interesting.
I'm not like that,
no,
though.
No, of course not. Another fan for Allie.
Shut up, Allie! Shut up! Shut up, Allie! Shut up, Allie! Shut up!
So, to be clear...
He made a lot of good points.
Keep talking.
Okay, that's what I heard.
I think.
Yeah.
Bean love.
Hey, Bean. Die. Please.
Wow. He was,
nice, right?
Yeah.
He was polite. I mean,
he did say please.
That's pretty cool. This guy's very upset about our scientific survey.
Hey, guys. You had a scientific survey the other day to see if Miss America talking about pancakes was a good enough segment to be on the show. Yet, 3-4 weeks ago, you guys talked about a truck parked in front of Lightning's house for 15 minutes. I mean, you took calls, you talked to his wife, you put up pictures. It was the worst segment I've ever seen in my life. So that one got unanimous vote in the meeting, but nobody wanted to vote for Miss America talking about National Pancake Day. Come on, screw you guys.
Look, it's a tough job, and we don't always make the right decisions. We may have been wrong on the truck thing.
No, the truck thing was the best.
We may have been wrong on not having Miss America in to talk about National Pancake Day, too, by the way, which I still think would be an entertaining segment.
Nope. We did a... It's a terrible segment. We did a call-in topic of You Look Like a Celebrity, and this guy is playing both the callers and Bean.
Huh.
One-man play.
Yeah, so I totally look like that one celebrity. And what do they do when you are looking like that celebrity? Oh, they totally tell me I look like a celebrity? Oh, that's so interesting. You're wasting my time!
That's tough to argue with right there.
I can't disagree with it at all.
I wasn't even aware that this happened, but apparently...
Yeah. Hey, guys, it's Steve. I'm not going to be able to make it in today. So somebody else is going to have to hit it. Okay?
Well, it's kind of you to call, Steve, and I hope you feel better soon.
It's getting really close to Leap Day, and we haven't heard the Leap Day song. We please play it?
Do we want to hear the Leap Day song?
Yes,
because I don't
do.
Feel like we do.
Yes, we do.
I feel like we don't.
Because I think it's around the corner. It's about time. Hit it, Steve.
Leap year, leap year, oh, leap year.
Oh, Steve is here to hit that one.
One extra day is going to happen on February 29th. It's a leap year. Outside my window. It's a leap year behind the tree. I wish that you guys could see that I have way too much free time in February. And it's a leap year outside my window plane.
Stop.
Leap year. Every year divisible by 4 is a leap year. Excepting years divisible by 100. 29 days instead of 28. Gregorian calendar. Seriously, I have way too much time on my hands. If your birthday's on the 29th, you get screwed. Everything's going to be okay. All right? Double cross. It's a leap year.
It's a leap year. Outside my window.
Stop it.
It's a leap year behind the tree.
Yeah, I wish we could play the rest of that, but we don't have time because look at the time. We've got to move on.
520 AFRO, 24 hours a day. Call and leave a message. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro Line.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:54.
Last week, throughout the morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we gave away Coachella tickets and qualified everyone to go see a band on the bill that they like in a country on the bill that they like. Their choice, anywhere in the world.
Come on, Camden.
And we promised you the grand prize drawing this morning, so we are dialing up right now to give away this prize. It's a good one.
Hello?
Hello?
I feel like it's a Mexican standoff already.
Who answers the phone but doesn't say hello?
Matthew, what's going on there, dude? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just driving my kid to school right now. There's traffic and...
But who answers the phone and doesn't say hello?
It's no caller ID. I mean, come on, bro. It's 2016.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Well, it's K-Rock calling, if you haven't figured that out. Any idea why we might have you on the phone, Steve?
Well, world trip.
That's correct. You got the 3-day passes for Coachella, and you're the grand prize winner. You get to see any band that's playing Coachella anywhere they're playing in the world.
Woohoo! All right. Thanks, guys.
Well, who's going to take care of your kids?
Probably the dog.
Probably the dog. I'm happy with Matthew/Steve.
What?
whatever his name is.
What's just going happened?
On? I have no idea what's going on.
Have you guys ever
that guy's shaky
worked in radio?
No,
no. Come on,
come on.
You can't tell, Ralph.
There's no
come
way
on.
You could have worked that out. What was going on there?
We're some, winging it.
Some way better than that.
Nope. Hey, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat, and then we're going to talk to our friend Gustavo Arellano from the OC Weekly, who I don't know if he was there or not, but he'll give us the update on what happened when the Klan rally went bad. In
it
Orange
was
County.
Unbelievable.
Well, it might have been. That's coming up on K-Rock. What's up with you, Ralph?
Nobody watched the Oscars last night.
And by nobody, you mean how many tens of millions of people did watch the Oscars?
Well, tens of millions. But still. Right?
That's a good point.
Thank you. it was a seven-year low for the Oscars, according to the ratings. The 23.1 was the rating and a 37 share, which was the lowest preliminary numbers since 2009 when Hugh Jackman hosted.
And he was a good host, too.
He was a good host. But the numbers were down 6% from Neil Patrick Harris from last year. So, I don't know why. Maybe the movies didn't move people. Weren't a lot of Revenant fans there. We were having Revenant parties dressed in bear costumes, rooting them on. See, the bear was there last night.
Oh,
in the audience.
Oh,
they took a shot
so
at the bear.
Funny.
He was just sitting in the audience. The bear was applauding. But, oh, come on. That was
Chuck
funny.
Chuck Knight, you see him?
Yeah, he's in a straitjacket.
Oh, I can't believe it. That was funny. Oof. Yeah. Those are good times. Oof. I miss yesterday.
Before that happened?
Before that happened. Yeah. According to the Oscar voters, here were your big winners last night. Spotlight won for Best Picture. Damn priests, right?
That's a great movie, by the
it
way.
It is a great
yes,
movie.
Yes, it is.
And I'll tell you something else.
What?
And I don't know if there's a degree of difficulty involved in people who vote for Best Picture, but to make a story about guys writing newspaper articles into a great movie, that's impressive. Not right. easy to do.
Right.
I think it was more a story about the Catholic Church and abuse.
Yeah, abuse
on
and corruption.
Children.
I just
what,
saw people
not?
Writing.
More than, no, no, I'm
my
saying
focus
more
was
than reporters typing.
You know, no, no, no. Good grammar and punctuation, and I was pleased with that.
I'm saying journalism movies are sometimes tough to make those you know words pop off the page, and they did a great job with that. I was very happy to see it win.
The Revenant director Alejandro Iñárritu. How's that? Boom. Drop the mic. That's pronunciation
pretty
right
well
there.
Done.
Thank you. He won for his work with The Revenant. Also, Leonardo DiCaprio, who starred in that film, picked up the Best Actor Award. Brie Larson, Best Actress for the work in Room. And it's hard to do those movies where one person's in one room a lot to jump off the page in a room. So I was glad to see her win. Alicia Vikander won for The Danish Girl. It's kind of funny, though, when they were putting black people in movies. And, come on.
Whoopi Goldberg?
No, Danish Girl was starred...
Morgan.
Tracy Morgan. As the Danish girl. I'm a girl. This Danish tastes good. Come on, that was a funny...
I did laugh.
3 seconds.
Yeah. Yes, it was a funny 3 seconds. Right. In a four-minute Saturday Night Live bit.
A lot of whoopi surrounding it. Yeah. A lot of whoopi surrounding that, but it was very... That one part there, I laughed out loud. Because Tracy Morgan eating the Danish is always fun. Mark Rylance, that was the big surprise of the night. He won for Best Supporting Actor for his work in Bridge of Spies. Usurping the proper winner, the one who should have won, Philly's favorite son, Sylvester Stallone, for his work as Rocky Balboa in Creed.
Wasn't
kicked
he,
to the curb.
Was he the... He was the favorite, right, for that?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Everybody was saying he was going to... It was the one sure bet at Oscars was that he was going to win Best Supporting Actor, and everyone was wrong.
Well, you're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, yes. And you're being rude. That's right. Bad manners.
You were trying very hard, Sly, and you did not win.
How nervous was Leo when that happened? He's like, oh, no.
Oh, the favorites aren't winning.
Oh,
I'm in trouble.
And I want a vape.
Cut to the bear. Cut to the bear.
I want a vape.
Show the bear. They showed the bear, and then they cut back to Leo. He was like, "This is not. I'm not. This is not bear funny time. Okay, this is me winning time."
He did not look like he was having a good time at all to be there last night.
No. He was on growing pains. Let's all just remember that for a minute, okay? Right.
Right. Right.
Where was Alan Thicke last night?
That's a good question. That's the only thing that could have made it worse.
How come Finney cut a shot of Thicky in the audience? Giving some props to his boy, Leo. Thick Lives Matter. All right?
I don't think that's the...
Hashtag.
I don't think that's it.
Speaking of Rocky, we didn't get a chance to mention this last week, but on Friday, the news broke, that Tony Burton, who played Apollo Creed's trainer, Duke, also played Rocky's trainer after Apollo. Spoilers. he passed away on Friday. The only actor other than Stallone to be in all six of the first Rocky films. Great, great actor. And also a Golden Gloves champ. He was probably,
probably
knew more about boxing than anybody else in those movies. So, sad news, he passed away at the age of 78. But I wanted to give him a little shout out. Love, Duke. I saw you hit that man like you never hit nobody before, and the man just kept on coming. We don't need that kind of trouble in our lives.
I like it.
Think I beat him? Think I beat him, Tony? You won. I won, but I didn't beat him. I can do all of Rocky 2 if you like. I can do it. Thank you. For my new one-man show, Rocky 2, T-O-O. And I hope you'll all come
I like it.
See it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Get a lot of emails, a lot of texts, a lot of calls on the business line.
You don't answer the business
line.
It
is Superman's birthday today, so I want to give Supes a big shout-out. Happy birthday, Superman.
Okay.
In the comics, apparently, his birthday is officially February 29th. So happy birthday, Superman. Antonio Sabato Jr. is 44 years old. Mark Foster of Foster the People is 32. Tony Robbins is 56 years old. Speaking of Superman, did you see Jimmy Kimmel's show afterwards?
Did not.
You didn't?
Nope.
Kevin!
I had to sit through 9 hours of the Oscars.
You missed,
and then
missed the deleted scene from Batman v Superman where Jimmy Kimmel is actually in the scene with Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne and starts telling everyone their secret identities. It was very, very funny.
That sounds way better than the Oscars.
Oh, yeah. When are they going to let Jimmy Kimmel host the Oscars? When's that
going
to happen?
Great question.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Perfect host.
Hashtag right.
But did Matt Damon show up?
Spoilers. If you're planning on watching on your DVR or whatever, turn your ears off for a second.
So you turn your ears off?
Yeah.
He did.
Ben Affleck comes out to the show as one of Jimmy's first guests. And he is enormously fat. He's huge. He's fat. He's a big Orson Welles fat.
Okay.
He's fat. So he sits down, and Jimmy's like, you really let yourself go. You know, what happened? He goes, well, you know, I worked out a lot for the movie, and, you know, the muscle turns to fat, and blah, blah, blah. He goes, wait, I don't. And he tears open his big coat that he's wearing, and Matt Damon is strapped to his chest.
Like a koala.
Like a koala. Ben Affleck has smuggled Matt Damon onto the show.
That's funny.
It was very, very funny. And then Jimmy, of course, loses his mind and kicks him off. And Guillermo has to come over and drag him off the stage in the chair. And it was all very insane.
It so much better than the Oscars.
It was all better than the Oscars, yeah. So if you haven't seen it yet, well, no point now because I just told you everything. But still, it was very good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last hour, we introduced you to the lineup for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium with Bill Burr and Bob Saget, Eddie If, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, and Wheeler Walker Jr. I know you're thinking that sounds like too much to be on one night, but it's all true and it's all happening. Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon at AXS.com. Get all the details at KROQ.com and your chance to win coming up in just a few minutes as well. You guys remember on Friday in the 8 o'clock hour, we were talking to our friend Gustavo Arellano from the OC Weekly?
Absolutely.
We're all yucking it up and having a good time talking about how he was in trouble with the Klan because they weren't taking him seriously. And boom, next thing you know, international news, Klan rally in Anaheim. People are stabbed. People are arrested. Gustavo, what the hell kind of a county are you running down there?
Let's put it this way. There's a reason why us who live in Anaheim call it Anacrime. Always riots going on. Sometimes violent, sometimes not, always just insanity.
So what happened? I know you weren't there yourself, but a lot of your staff was, photographers and reporters. What happened?
So the Klan, so everyone thought the Klan was going to show up at 10 o'clock, so they didn't show up. So literally two of my photographers went to Del Taco and got some burritos. Thankfully, they came back in time. I know. Thank God they didn't miss it. They came back in time, and they saw across the street the members of the Klan who were in their robes, but kind of dressed like, kind of dressed like in paramilitary black outfits, going out and getting some getting their posters. And one of my photographers, thankfully, was right next to him because he started asking the Klan, hey, do you guys want to take pictures of your sign that says white lives do matter, no white genocide? And so they posed. There was one guy with a top hat with a Confederate flag. But by that point, all these anti-racist folks, anarchists, they came in and just start beating the asses of the Klan. Ruthless.
Okay, give me some numbers here, if you know, Gustavo. How many Klansmen were there?
There was about no more than 10, maybe 10. Yeah, around 10. So what happened was that the people who got beat up showed up in an SUV. So there was about 6 people in that SUV. But they got swarmed by at least 20 counter-protesters who started swinging at them with their fists. There was one guy who looked like a misfit, or rather a reject from a Misfits concert, came up with all these spikes, you know, his spiked collar, his spiked wristband, and just started pummeling the Grand Dragon, Bill Quigg, the guy who was really mad at me. And then on top of that, then that's when Quigg, he got his American flag pulled and started poking at people, but he was trying to keep people away from just basically stomping him. And then another Klan member, he pulled out a knife and he actually stabbed 3 people, one of which whose photograph went all across the world.
Yeah, I saw that guy with laying down with his shirt up, and you could see he was bleeding pretty hard. The police knew this protest was going to happen. Were they not on site at all?
Oh, God, yeah. So the biggest failure, of course, you know, so the really quick update, but all the Klan folks, they were 5 of them were arrested, but they were all, no, 6 of them were arrested. They were all released. Anaheim PD says it was self-defense, but none of this should have happened because the Anaheim Police Department knew that something like this was bound to happen. And in fact, in 2001, when there was a protest in front of Anaheim City Hall between just not Klan racists, but just, you know, regular racists and other folks, there was a brawl, and the Anaheim Police Department didn't do anything then. This time, they weren't even around. There was no Klan support, or rather, there was no police support to be able to protect the Klan. The funniest thing, the big savior for the Klan, especially for Quigg, was a Jewish professor from Cal State San Bernardino named Brian Levin. He literally jumped in there and put himself between him and the rest of the Klan. So only in Orange County can a Jew save a Klan member.
Wow. That is really surprising that the police would not have better anticipated this. And I'm also surprised to hear you say that there aren't going to be any charges on the Klansmen who actually stabbed people. We're just accepting at face value that that was what was necessary for self-defense?
All the video is showing, I mean, and the Weekly reported this from the beginning. There was people were hurling insults at each other, and then the counter-protesters just started beating them up. So what the police is saying is that even this guy with a knife, which, yeah, if you think about it, okay, who's bringing a knife to a fist by the Klan, but that the Klan member stabbed these 3 people in self-defense? That's what the police department's saying. Of course, that's not going to fall well with any of the people who were there at the scene. The counter-protesters, I think they arrested 7 counter-protesters because initially they arrested 12 people in total, 5 and 7. I don't know how many of them are still being held on charges, but they were, you know, a couple of them were assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, because I guess they were beating up on an older Klans member. It's just absolute chaos.
Wow. Well, I was really disappointed to see this thing happen. And we talked about this earlier today, Gustavo. And I know as a newspaper man, you must agree with this, that the right to assemble is a very precious right that we should hold very seriously. And the Klan should absolutely be allowed to protest in a park if they want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of me, yes, is happy to see horrible races like the Klan getting their ass stomped. But as the way I see it, they should have had the right to say. I mean, and again, this goes back to the police department. Usually when you have Klan protests across the country, they have barricades, they have a whole police presence, you know, so really the hero in all this was Professor Levin. I would have been there, honestly, if not for the fact that, you know, they were mad at me, and I don't know, like, I'm not going to be there where somebody's mad at me most of the time, especially the Klan. But no, people should have allowed these people just say, you know, say their space, yell at them, scream at them, whatever, and just make fools out of themselves. And the worst part about this now is that this assault on the Klan, it just reconfirms their own narrative that they're now going to be able to spin all across the country. Oh, yeah, look at all these blacks and Mexicans beat us and stabbed us. They're not the real Americans. So you just fall into their own trap.
Yeah, the whole thing is a mess. I mean, look, the reason freedom of speech is so precious in this country is for unpopular speech. It's not for people who are saying things that you agree with. It's for people who are saying things that are heinous.
And what worries me as a newspaper person, even my own friends are like, oh, well, the Klan is hate speech and that's not protected. They shouldn't be allowed to say. I say, no. I am an absolutist when it comes to free speech. I don't care if it's ISIS or NAMBLA or, you know, the Klan. If they want to say their drivel, then they can. Of course, the line crosses when they go beyond free speech and then start, you know, doing acts of violence or, you know, felony. That's completely different. But the Klan did nothing, at least initially. And again, the Anaheim Police Department has released everyone, even the guy who stabbed three people.
Okay. Well, Gustavo, you've been doing a good job covering the story, and I know that there's more on the website at ocweekly.com. We'll see it when the paper hits the stands this week. So keep us posted. I hope this is the end of it. It'd be great if all these people just went underground and we didn't have to deal with them anymore, but we appreciate the update, sir.
Anytime.
We watch the show on TV, but I don't feel like we've really absorbed an award show until we talk to our friend Matt Bellany, the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, who joins us in studio right now. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Where did you watch the Oscars last night?
I actually did not go to the show for the first time in 5 years. So
what? Get the hell out.
I went to the parties. I went to the parties, so we could talk about that. I had the couch experience just like you for the first time, and it was quite something.
I saw your photo at the Spotlight party, which must have been a very joyous party after they won Best Picture. And you took a picture of a table that had a couple of Oscars on it, and it didn't look like anybody was around, like, watching them. Could you have grabbed an Oscar and run for the door?
It's actually kind of nuts. I mean, there were a lot of producers on Spotlight, so there were a lot of Oscars just, like, floating around. Plus, the screenwriter won. And he was there. So there was a lot of just random Oscars. And this, you know, these days, everyone wants a selfie with an Oscar. So it was just kind of getting passed around and put down. And
it's sort of weird.
It is very weird.
So you're a big cheese in this town, thanks to your work at The Hollywood Reporter. So do you, like at a party like that, can I see you sitting at a table chatting it up with Rachel McAdams and Michael Keaton?
I don't know. I mean, I know people, but I don't. It's not like they're coming up and running up and, you know, doing a big hug. The Spotlight producers, I actually do know. It was nice after a long award season to go up to them and say congratulations. You know, these people have been campaigning for these awards for 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, Spotlight premiered at the Telluride Film Festival in August, early September, and this has been a long slog for them. People don't realize that.
It's so interesting to hear you say that because you really have been putting a lot of stuff on the website, THR.com, recently, where you've been talking to Academy voters. And there's so much politics that
those are my favorite. I mean, if you read anything on THR.com, read these brutally honest Oscar ballots, because we interview anonymous Academy voters and they walk us through how they vote for the
it's
Oscars.
It's fascinating.
And if you read this, you will see the Oscars in an entirely new light. It is all political. They're voting for movies they've never seen before to stop a movie that they don't like.
Really?
They're voting because someone was charming at an event. They're not voting for Leo DiCaprio because he brought bodyguards to an Academy event and they thought that was off-putting.
Oh,
I mean, the political machinations of this are frightening.
Like, it's not already ridiculous enough that movies compete against each other for which one is better, too, by the way.
Of course. I mean, but that's been going on forever.
Right.
And I know that there's
this just makes it even worse.
Yeah, it just shows that, you know, like everything, the Oscars are very political. And, you know, it's no surprise that the quote-unquote issue movie wins Best Picture, because that people, Oscar voters, want to feel like they're voting for something important. They want to feel like they're important people and they did something important by voting.
You said something last night on social media that I thought was so interesting about Mad Max and how Warner Brothers didn't realize what they had. Tell me about that.
Mad Max, going into the Oscar season, was not really on anyone's radars. And keep in mind, the studios set the table in August and September. They figure out what they believe their best chance for Oscars are, and they start planning campaigns. They bring people into LA to do press. They buy advertising. They set up screenings for Academy members. And early on in the season, despite the reviews this summer that were all great, I don't think Warner Brothers really knew that Mad Max could be an all-category Best Picture director contender until it started getting these critics awards at the end of the year and critics started putting it on its 10 best list. I mean, it's not a traditional Best Picture winner. It's a hardcore action movie. It's, you know, a summer blockbuster. But then once they saw what they were getting, they kind of shifted and went from Black Mass, which was their big Oscar movie that just got rejected by most of the awards groups, and then shifted over to Mad Max and to Creed. And some people say it was a little too late, and they didn't really have the momentum behind it. Who knows?
Huh.
That is really interesting, though. When they put that much time and that many months and they put all that money into it, what do they hope is going to be the return for something like that? Or is it strictly for ego to say, hey, my movie won an Oscar?
There is a lot of that. And if you walked around the Spotlight party last night, I mean, you saw the head of the company that released Spotlight just beaming and over the moon. I mean, this is like his, you know, bar mitzvah or his, you know, he is the prom king of Hollywood for a day, for a while, actually. But there's also an economic factor. I mean, these movies not only will get a box office bump here in the U.S. and overseas, but it forever puts a stamp on the movie that it is an Oscar-winning movie. So everywhere from, you know, cable deals where you're putting movies on cable channels to DVD, home video. I mean, people are interested in seeing these Oscar-winning movies, and, you know, they get value out of that for years to come.
It must be gratifying for you as a journalist, though, to see Spotlight win a movie like this when it's about a department of a newspaper that doesn't exist anymore in most cities in America.
I think that's true. And I think that actually helped Spotlight through a lot of the award season. It really was the journalist's favorite because it's about journalists doing a good job. And who doesn't like that if you're working in the media? You know, especially if you're assigned to write, you know, your 10th blog post on who someone's dressed that day. You're like, these are real journalists doing real work and getting rewarded for it. It was crazy. At the Spotlight party last night, there were the real-life Boston Globe journalists were there having their picture taken like celebrities, and I had definitely never seen that before.
All right, Matt Bellany is here. He is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. We're going to take a very quick break when we come back. We have not yet heard what you thought of Chris Rock, what you thought of the pace of the show, all 3 hours and 35 minutes of it. We'll talk more with Matt right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Matt Bellany in studio with us here on The Kevin Amin Show. He is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. That's a big deal in this town, you guys, Hollywood Reporter. What'd you think of Chris Rock last night, Matt?
Thanks, Bean.
Well, for people who don't read the trades, they may think it's just a rag, but I'm telling you, it's legit. And Matt's
legit. Officially my publicist.
Right? What'd you think of Chris Rock last night? Obviously, there was much anticipation. When the announcement was made that there were, once again this year, no acting nominees of color, I think the Academy was relieved that at least they had a black host. But then the other half of that coin is, what's he going to say about us?
Okay, here's the deal with Chris Rock. That opening monologue, the 10 minutes where he just went off and started skewering the Academy, different actors, Jada Pinkett Smith.
That was funny.
All of these people. That was, I thought, pretty brilliant. And there were some misfires. Like, no, what was Stacey Dash doing there? And
that didn't get that.
No one
that
got
was flat,
that.
Yeah.
But on the whole, that opening monologue was stuff that you never see at the Oscars. Politically charged, racially charged, mentioning lynchings and kids getting shots and actually being funny and pointed. That was great. Then I thought the show kind of went off a cliff. There were a lot of bits that didn't quite work. The Girl Scout cookie thing went on way too long.
Yeah.
A lot of the speeches were flat until you got to those end speeches where people got kind of political and Leo was good. But the show just has this fundamental problem. It's got that hour and a half in the middle of categories no one cares about. And they just get up there, and that scroll was asinine. It just didn't work.
What was that?
It didn't help, and it was like you're watching this, and it was just a parade of random names.
Yeah.
So it didn't help the viewer at all.
No,
it didn't give you any insight.
Confusing.
But at least they were going by fast enough that you couldn't read them.
Exactly. And then there were little, you know, pop-up video factoids about the actors that you didn't quite read either. That, I don't know, I just think that they have to fundamentally rethink what the Oscars show is. Mm-hmm. Do something like what the Grammys did, where they just kicked off all the categories, turned it into a great music show. I mean, the movies have a challenge, and then there's, you know, they can't really do that. It's
right.
Movies, it's not music, but they got to really rethink what this is.
Well, Matt, let me ask you this question, because every couple of years I hear a story about how they get all of the nominees in a room and they say, look, this is your moment to express your joy and how happy you are to win, but don't make it a laundry list of names. Nobody cares about your dry cleaner. And they say that, but it doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help.
They still do it. How would you change that? If you say to people, don't read a laundry list of names that no one knows or cares about, and they still do it, what can you do?
You can eliminate categories that get the opportunity to be up on stage like that. And it would be an outcry, and there's a lot of people in the industry who say, this is our show, first and foremost, everyone gets to watch. But the fact of the matter is the Academy's budget comes from the ABC television deal, which comes from the ratings and the advertising. So if the ratings continue to go down, and the early numbers suggest they're down again. This is a show that's becoming less relevant to an average audience. So you've got to really think about maybe putting those sound mixers and sound designers in either a separate ceremony or, you know, acknowledge them and they stand up from the crowd and they wave and they don't get that 10 minutes to thank their
barber.
First
of all, the 10 minutes to walk up to the stage.
Yeah, because they're off in Siberia.
But now are you talking about taking a 3.5-hour show and making it a 2-hour show and giving up a lot of commercial inventory that way?
Maybe, you know, or at least making it a 3-hour show. I mean, there was a time, I think.
Isn't that sad? We're talking about how that would be good.
Just 3 hours. And honestly, like, we're on the West Coast here, but on the East Coast, you know, these people are being asked to stay up till 12:30 in the morning, and it just doesn't make sense. I mean, they did a whole thing last night where they brought out the droids from Star Wars, the, you know, the Toy Story guys, the Minions. That didn't happen until 10 p.m. on the East Coast.
Yeah.
What little kid is going to be up and excited? True. And no one in the audience cares about that stuff. And, you know, adults watching don't care about that. They do that for kids, and none of the kids are able to watch because they're asleep.
No, that's a really, really good point. Let's talk about some of the musical performances of the night. There were three, I guess. You want to hit on them?
I thought The Weeknd was pretty good. I mean, that song. I mean, there's a bizarre little S&M interlude on the Oscars. I don't know. I think that was probably as risque as that show gets. I thought that the Lady Gaga performance was really nice. I mean, there is a theory in Hollywood. She was everywhere this award season.
Yes, yeah,
performing
was.
That song everywhere, and
plus the Super Bowl, plus
Super
the Grammys,
Bowl, and mm-hmm. she performed at the Producers Guild Awards. Went to every little party she could go to, and I think
played on Sunset Boulevard with Elton John on Saturday afternoon. I mean, she cannot miss a crowd at this point.
And I think the theory in Hollywood is that she may have done too much, and the voters were put off by that. The aggressive campaigning, and that's maybe why she didn't win.
Interesting.
That Sam Smith Bond song, not that good.
No one loves that song.
No one loves it. The pantheon of Bond songs, can you imagine? That's the one that wins the Oscar.
Yeah.
Like,
shocking.
And, you know, no offense to Sam Smith, it's just not an amazing song. Mm-hmm. And he performed it fine on the show, although he needed to fact check himself before he got up there.
That was odd.
Yeah. He said he was the first gay winner, and not true at all. Elton John has won an Oscar.
Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, and
Dustin Lance
Scott
Black.
Rudin is a very prolific producer who's gay, openly gay. And Dustin Lance Black wrote Milk and won an Oscar. I think Ian McKellen, who he was quoting, who was misquoting, said that no openly gay lead actor had won, which is true. And Sam Smith, you'd think he may have Googled that before he said it on the air.
It was weird
to
say. But I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay. Yeah.
Really?
All right, and the million journalists are sitting backstage going, actually, Sam, no, that's not true.
Speaking of surprises, though, by the time we get this late in the award season, we feel like we know who's going to win. Like, nobody was surprised that Leo won, but everybody was surprised that Sylvester Stallone didn't win.
That,
what
to
do
me
you
was
account
the biggest,
that to, Matt?
That was the biggest upset of the show, I think, because there was so much goodwill around him. People seem to have forgotten the past 30 years of terrible movies that he's made, and Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, or Expendables 3, or any of those.
Watch yourself with Ralph when you leave.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Ralph may attack me on that front. But this guy is so beloved. He won Best Picture for Rocky, but didn't win Best Actor back in the 70s. So I think the theory was he was just going to get up there, and it was going to be a nice sentimental moment. He has been everywhere during awards season.
Yeah, the momentum of winning all the awards, and then
And he is an old school Hollywood pro. He would show up and shake hands and do anything he needed to do to win these votes.
Wow.
And it just didn't happen. And Mark Rylance, who was great in Bridge of Spies, he's the best thing in that movie. But that to me was the biggest shock.
Who do you know? I mean, do you have an office pool that you're
we
experts
do, and
that
I
work
never
there?
Win.
You never win.
No, I'm glad you're our expert.
No, it's funny, and we have a guy whose job it is to predict the awards. Mm-hmm. He's like the awards guru.
Does he get to play?
He sometimes he doesn't play, but he usually doesn't win when he plays.
Maybe you need a different guy doing that.
Yeah, well, no, it's usually, you know, because there are some of these categories, like the animated short and all these other things that are such wild cards. It's usually somebody who just takes a flying guess and, you know, is the winner.
I have a question about that, by the way. I was thinking about this last night. I don't know, even if I wanted to seek out those movies, I don't really know where to find them.
They play.
Animated short, the live, in the documentaries and stuff. I just feel like they're not around.
They play around L.A. The Landmark has a program where they show the live shorts and the animated shorts. You have to find them. But Academy voters, if you want to vote in this category, you can. They make it very easy for you to see these films.
Sure.
All right. Last question for me, Matt, because we're almost out of time, and that is, Why no Abe Vigoda in the In Memoriam? Come
that,
on.
Unbelievable. Can you believe that? I mean, all...
How long does a guy have to live to be eligible for the In Memoriam?
And usually there's always some controversy about who's in or out. But the guy's in The Godfather. I mean, yeah. It's not like he was...
Yeah, he's legit. Know,
he's totally legit. And they must have known. I mean, Conan O'Brien has had that long-standing, you know, joke with Abe Vigoda. And, like, It was an outrage, I thought.
I mean, I guess we don't know until somebody on the inside tells us. But either it was an oversight and, oops, I just forgot. Or they said, well, we can't put everybody in. We've got to cut here. We've got to cut there for time. So
you know what, though? There were so many random publicists and sound mixers and things like that.
Yeah,
that
there were a lot of people that...
You know, you want people to watch the show. You put in faces that they know. You know, that seems obvious.
It is a shame, though, that Paul McCartney is dead, though, so they had to have Dave Grohl sing that Beatles song.
I don't think he's dead. Actually,
well, he must have been, because he would have been there.
Maybe they saw that he got booted from that party at the Grammys. He's not VIP enough for the Oscars.
He's not VIP enough. All right, Matt, before we let you go, where can people see your coverage with The Hollywood Reporter?
We are in Oscars Overdrive at THR.com today. Anything and everything you'd want to know about the show, check it out. And we're in print, Hollywood Reporter Magazine in L.A. and New York.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016, which is coming up fast on Saturday, April the 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium. Ralph Graham, what do you think about this lineup as unveiled this morning?
Maybe the strongest ever.
It's crazy, right?
Bill Burr is just a genius.
Yeah,
I did Eliza Schlesinger's podcast the other day. She is just hilarious and adorable, and she's great. I mean, just a couple of those names would be worth going to. But
I know. I can't believe it's all on one bill on one night either. But it's Bill Burr, Eliza Schlesinger, as you mentioned, our friend Bob Saget, the return of Eddie Eft, Fluffy himself, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Wheeler Walker Jr. It's going to be an amazing show. Tickets are on sale this Friday at noon. Proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. That's going to be at AXS.com is where you buy tickets. Details at KROQ.com. But you don't have to wait until Friday because we're giving away a pair of tickets right now.
Now we're looking for, Rodney the Joke Machine. Is that correct?
Yes.
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 Go on.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like I just shouldn't have said that.
Well, I just think it would be more of a surprise if you waited. But we could have just asked for people with, hey, bring your best joke.
Okay. Okay.
Bring your best joke. It doesn't matter now. Because
call down 1-800-520-1067. If you have a joke that's really great.
Right. You do the setup, and then Rodney will give you the punchline because he knows every joke that was ever written because
correct.
Rodney is the joke machine. He's not just a fan of 80s music like many people think. Oh, he only knows music from the 80s. No. He also knows every joke that was ever written.
It really branches out a lot.
So you give him the setup, he will finish your joke by delivering the punchline and probably better than you ever did because you know how entertaining and vibrant he is.
Yes, he is a comedy encyclopedia. So if you have the first half of a joke, call now. Rodney will finish it for you. If he doesn't, you go into the drawing to win the tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. Call right now. We'll talk to you right after Ralph does the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
Speaking of jokes, I rarely say this, but I'm Team Kevin on Ali G's appearance on the Oscars last night.
You enjoyed it.
That made me laugh. That made me laugh because he makes so many people so deeply uncomfortable.
That's the fun of it.
That's the fun of it for me. I find him endlessly brave when it comes to the stuff that he does.
And I wonder what percentage of the people in that auditorium knew that character.
I doubt many did. I think they were just uncomfortable.
Really? Yes. People in show business you don't think are familiar with Ali G? I'd be willing to bet 85% of the people in that room knew who Ali G was.
I would guess 30% tops.
It was the least exposed of all of his characters. It was what brought him to a lot of people's attention in England, certainly, and then in the States when he did it. But like the Ali G movie, no one saw that.
Yeah.
And Borat was the thing that brought Sacha Baron Cohen to people's attention.
I just felt like Ali did. It would have been funny 10 years ago. I guess I didn't need to see it be pulled out of retirement.
No, but it was so poignant and on point because of the whole controversy that was going on. And he's a white guy who tries to be black. It was funny to me on many levels. But do you remember when he was promoting his movie, The Dictator, where he played a dictator of a foreign country?
Right.
And he showed up at the Oscars in costume. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? He was carrying a big urn full of ashes.
Yes, and he dumped him on Ryan Seacrest.
And he was doing an interview with Ryan Seacrest, and he sneezed and just dumped the entire jar of ashes all over Seacrest's
tuxedo. I forgot about that.
Maybe the greatest moment in Oscar history. So last night, Sacha Baron Cohen and his lovely wife Isla Fisher are walking the red carpet, and they walk up to Ryan Seacrest, and Ryan Seacrest says no and turns away and refuses to interview.
He won't even talk to him.
Yes.
Wow.
Because he's a weenie.
Wow.
He is a little weenie baby. And so apparently Sacha Baron Cohen felt bad and went back to him moments later while Seacrest was interviewing Lady Gaga and asked for a hug. And Seacrest, being caught on camera while he asked, acquiesced.
Sort of had to.
And they kind of hugged it out, yeah.
That's funny.
I thought it was great that Ryan Seacrest was still shell-shocked over that whole debacle.
And then Seacrest got shivved, I hope, right?
No! Oh. It was a lovely moment.
I thought that's how it ended.
Okay. Everyone walked away a better person.
All right.
How it's supposed to be.
By the way, when the Oscars show itself is almost 4 hours long, who has any strength for the red carpet? Like, there's no way I was going to tune into 1 minute of that nonsense.
Oh, my wife's all about the red carpet.
Really?
Really doesn't care that much about the awards, but she loves.
Well, I can see if you're into one or the other, but watching both seems like a week-long process.
We turned the television on in our household. I think it was at 7 a.m. when the coverage started. I think it was like watching the moon landing. It was just nonstop coverage.
So it's not enough for her, for your wife, to see those people in the audience during the show. She has to see them on the red carpet.
Head to toe being in the audience.
Oh. All right.
You see some woman sitting down in her gown. You don't get the whole.
You don't get the mani cam that way.
No. So there you go. I'm out of time already. Can't even tell you the box office. Well, all you need to know is Deadpool was number one again with $31.5 million. Another big weekend for Deadpool, making it closer. It just passed the $600 million mark worldwide, closer to that record held by The Matrix Reloaded as the number one grossing R-rated film of all time.
So it's a third weekend, right?
Third weekend.
It's crazy that it still made $31
million. It's a monster. Today's celebrity birthdays, Superman, born on this day. Superman.
Henry Cavill?
Nope, the character Superman.
Are we doing birthdays for fictional characters now?
I have to represent my people.
Okay.
They're the ones that elected me, right?
No one elected you.
They're my constituents.
I think so.
When the nerds call on me, when the nerd signal goes in the sky, I hop in the nerdmobile and I show up and I save the day. So they're saying it's Superman's birthday. Bum. Tony Robbins is 56, another superhero. In a sense.
He's a superhero?
He is. Mm. He helps you be your better self. And he has an enormous head.
He does have a giant head.
He's just enormous, period. He's like...
All right, easy there, girlfriend.
I'm saying he's like 7 foot 8.
I don't know as well
as
you do, apparently, but...
No, I'm not talking about that. He's just...
He walks on coals. He can walk on coals. That's a superpower. Antonio Sabato Jr., 44 years old today. Mark Foster of Foster the People celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right, Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7 K-Rock.
Hey, Rodney.
You're listening to Rodney in the Mornings. Finally, they're giving me own morning
still Kevin
radio
Bean.
Show. So
still Kevin Bean, but we're...
Be careful driving out there in the traffic.
We're glad you're here, Rodney.
Cars on the freeway this time of the day, and I'm not used to that. Cause
all right. Roddy, let me.
When I did my other show,
let me handle this real quick.
No cars on the freeway.
April Foolishness.
Open freeway right. Just to drive on.
Let me just get this
don't
information
speed,
out.
Speed, even though okay. Not many cars in front of you.
Okay,
just
Rodney.
Travel
zip
at
it.
A safe speed.
Zip it. Kevin Beans April Foolishness 2016,
rude.
Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine. The first pair of tickets, if you want to see Bill Burr, Bob Saget, Eddie F., Gabrielle Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, Wheeler Walker Jr., you can buy tickets Friday at noon or win them right now with a game that we like to call Rodney the Joke Machine.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
Hey, he's Rodney the Joke Machine. The Joke Machine. He's Rodney.
Wick, wham, bam.
Ronnie, I know that you love 80s music.
Oh,
you play
right.
That on
I
your Sunday
night
show. How do you feel about the 90s?
Hate the 90s.
But you know a lot about comedy. If these listeners on the line do the setup for a joke, you'll be able to finish the joke for them.
All right. What did I win?
Bean, have you ever heard Rodney tell a joke?
I never have. Huh. But apparently he's a student of the form, so he knows them.
All right.
All right. Who's our first contestant then?
Let's start with Pinner in
all
Long
right.
Beach. Hey, Pinner.
What a Dean fam.
What it do to you?
All right, Pinner, let's hear the setup for the joke, and then Rodney will finish it for you.
Okay, what is the difference between a vitamin and a hormone?
Difference between a vitamin. Spandau Ballet.
Is it right. Spandau Ballet, Pim?
Did I win?
Incorrect.
The answer is?
You can't hear a vitamin.
See, I get that. All right, Pinner, hang on. You're in the drawing.
I don't understand that at all. Why would you even try to listen to a vitamin?
Okay, you're missing the hormone is the comedy.
Remember vitamin C?
Oh, hormone.
Remember vitamin C?
Yes.
I loved her.
Yeah, I know.
She's great.
She was young. Okay.
All right, who's next?
Song?
Next is Evan in Culver City. Hi, Evan. Hello.
Hey, Rodney.
Hey, Evan from Culver City. Hi, you're on the air. Go.
All right, you're right. What do you call a grizzly bear with no teeth?
All right, grizzly bear with no teeth. Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Now, how does that make sense to you, Rodney?
He was popular.
Right, but he's not a bear.
All right.
He has teeth. Evan, what's the answer?
A gummy bear.
All right, I love gummy bears. They're delicious.
That's not the point.
Okay, that was the punchline, though, Rodney. You didn't know that one.
I used to eat gummy bears and wash it down with Diet Right Cola. Remember Diet Right Cola?
Yeah, sure.
That was my favorite soft drink at one time.
Let's go to Leonard in Ontario. Hi, Leonard.
Hey, good morning, guys.
With David Cassidy once.
All right.
All right. What's your joke, Leonard?
What's the difference between boogers and broccoli?
Boogers and broccoli. Sheena Easton. All right. For your eyes only.
Kids won't eat the broccoli.
See?
Kids.
Rodney, any of these sounded familiar? It was advertised that you knew all the jokes, but you haven't gotten any of these yet.
These guys have the wrong answers for the punchline.
They have the wrong answers?
Sheena Easton's hilarious.
All right, Leonard is in the drawing. Who's next?
Next is Kevin in Southgate. Hi, Kevin.
All right.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's the setup to your joke?
All right. Did you hear about the guy who got his left arm and left leg cut off?
No, I didn't hear about that. That sounds horrible.
That's okay. He's all right now.
Great delivery, by the way. Great delivery.
Thank you. All about the delivery.
Rodney, I'm impressed that you didn't know that
one,
actually.
To hear he's doing better.
That's not...
Can I send him a card or something?
No, the joke was that he's all right.
Let me know what hospital right leg. He's in. I'll send him
But he has a right arm and a right leg, is what the guy was saying.
That guy. It's not even funny.
Okay. All right, let's go to Jason in Azusa. Hi, Jason.
Yeah, how's it going, you guys?
There's a lot of physical therapy ahead of him, I think.
There isn't a real guy.
It's just a joke.
Nobody lost an arm.
We need a prosthetic, one of those.
He's fine. All right, Jason, stump Rodney. Good luck.
All right, well, this joke came from around the best time ever in the 90s.
All right.
Rodney.
I hate the 90s.
What's the best way to kill a blonde?
Kill a blonde? Berlin.
Is it Berlin?
No, you put a scratch and sniff sticker at the bottom of a pool.
Okay. Because she's blonde.
I don't get it.
Yeah, Allie didn't get it, that's for sure.
Deborah Harry.
All right, we've moved on, Ruddy. We're going to take
Deborah Harry.
I think maybe one more really is all we need,
right?
All right,
what did I win?
Let's go to Kenny in Tustin. Hi, Kenny.
Hi. What does a gay cow eat?
And now here are the monkeys.
Did you hear
them?
Hey to you too, Kenny.
No, it's
no,
not.
No, that's the pun. He's saying that's the cow.
I like Kenny's friendly.
All right. No, that's not. Hey. All right, let's do one more. I don't want to end on that one. Let's take one
really?
More. Yeah,
really?
Let's do one more.
Let's go to Anthony in San Bernardino. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good, all thank right. you. Rodney the Joke Machine, what's the beginning of your joke?
All right, so why do Mexicans drive lowriders?
Lowriders? Because that's the car they've purchased.
That's a good answer.
Well, I mean, but it's not valid. It's not valid. A punchline.
Oh.
What is it, Anthony?
The punchline is so they can go cruising and pick strawberries at the same time.
That's racist.
That is racist.
Rodney's uncomfortable with that joke.
All right.
Yeah, we took one more.
Well, you know, our motto. Also, right. Kenny, Jason, Kevin, Leonard.
Hey, Evan. I just got it. I just got that one.
And Pinner, they're all the drawing.
The cow is gay.
Right.
Only one will win tickets to Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2016.
Right.
Saturday
That's
at the Shrine.
Funny.
Who's our winner? Please, Adam McKay.
Kenny.
Kenny.
Yeah. Kenny.
Okay, cow guy.
Say hey.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
hey.
Kitty.
Hey.
Yeah, we heard it. Yeah,
hey.
See, because the cow is gay.
You. Right.
I'm going to tell that one at Cantor's.
Okay, good luck with that.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke machine, he's Rodney.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you common. A regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was a moment with Kevin.
That's fantastic.
So I was one of the OGs right there.
I was wondering, is it possible that that's the first moment with?
Certainly amongst them, if not.
I don't know.
We have been hearing from Ducks fans today, Kevin. I can't imagine why they would be writing today. Like, of all days, why would you be hearing from the
Quack.
Oh, that's right.
Quack.
What was that final score last night against the Kings? Do you remember? Does anyone know?
I don't take smack talk from people who don't have a team in the fight.
He's got the Seattle Seattle coffee beans.
It was 4-2, Bean.
Oh, 4-2. I was speaking for Chip because she didn't have a mic. That's all.
You're always sticking up for the little guy. That's what
that's
I like
about
you, Bean.
You're
a giver. You protect hearts. And you stick up for the defenseless, and you give voice to the voiceless.
Thank you.
Yes. Go Ducks.
Exactly, right. All right, time for our final look at the show. We've been here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Since it is Monday, we always take a look at the box office to see what people went to see in movie theaters over the weekend. Deadpool, once again, staying at the top. Third weekend in a row, pulled in another $31.5 million. The other ones weren't even close. Gods of Egypt came in second place, and its debut made a paltry $14 million. For a film that made close to, was cost close to $200 million to manufacture.
It didn't look
not good.
Good.
Well, it was.
I agree with that.
It's a difficult subject matter, I think, to get people excited about. It's not a genre that is traditionally a blockbuster. Right. Sure, you have 300, which is kind of similar, but that was, you know. I'm trying to think of sort of like a swords and sandal epic that has really done very well recently, you know?
Yeah. I think Gladiator effed us all up because everybody went, oh, that's it.
Yeah. And I think people are getting a little weary on CGI-heavy films as well. This one looked like it just had a ton of things going at each other and stuff. And, I heard, though, that they pre-sold it a bunch internationally. These movies tend to do better internationally than they do in the States. Because there's no real loss in translation when you play them in other countries. And so a lot of that was pre-sold, so their budget was significantly covered for the most part. So,
all right.
So they haven't lost too much money. But
well, I mean, I hope it makes money. I mean,
you got nothing against it, right?
Nothing
mad
at
all.
No.
Right. Gerard Butler, we love him.
Sure,
very
much, yeah.
What are you moaning about over there, Allie?
I didn't say a damn word.
It was a deep sigh. If you're like, oh, I hate Gerard Butler. That whole, remember when he saved the president? I hated that. It's like you're upset about something. I'm just checking in.
Did he stand you up or something, Allie? What happened?
Gerard Butler?
Yeah.
I wish.
Right?
If I only had the opportunity to be stood up by such a man.
Gotta have big dreams.
Kung Fu Panda 3 was third, then Risen and Eddie the Eagle. Were your top five movies? 999, How to Be Single, The Witch, Race, and The Revenant. Rounding out the top 10. Revenant did pretty well at the Oscars last night. The director, Alejandro Iñárritu, picked up the Best Director Academy Award for his work putting The Revenant together. Leonardo DiCaprio, the star of that film, also won an Oscar for Best Actor. Best Actress went to Brie Larson for her work in Room. Alicia Vikander. Is it Vikander or Vikander?
I think it's Vikander, but I have heard both.
Anyway, she was in The Danish Girl, and she won for Best Supporting Actress.
She's fantastic, by the way.
She is. She's beautiful and talented.
Ex Machina? Oh, my God, was she great in that.
Right?
Bean loves that because it's a sex robot.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was it was also a great movie.
Yeah.
She was good in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes. By the way, the Ex Machina, Allie, I don't know if you noticed, beat out your little Star Wars for visual effects last night.
Don't get that beef started.
A lot of people were surprised by that. A lot of people thought that was The Force Awakens, right?
Poe Dameron wins either way, so I say yay.
Oh, that's right. He's in Ex Machina, too. Mark Rylance was the big surprise for the evening, winning for his role in Bridge of Spies over Sylvester Stallone's reprise as Rocky Balboa in Creed. And Best Picture went to Spotlight. Proving that people don't like priests who touch kids.
Well, that's universal, I think.
I think so. Mm-hmm. That's something we can all agree on.
Right? Yep.
Would you think in this day and age
that we live in?
No.
There'd be any more Beatles collectibles available that no one has yet?
I can't imagine.
Seemingly, every couple of months, looks like there's a new record set. This one may be one of the biggest money-making Beatles collectibles ever to hit the auction block.
They're auctioning Paul McCartney?
Yes. He's finally just given up, and he's just, you can take me home.
So I can own Paul McCartney if I'm willing to pony up enough.
No, this is the first, I would like to have the first record the Beatles ever made.
I'm not into that sort of thing, but it seems like a lot of people would be.
This would be the thing, right?
I don't think so.
This apparently is a 78 RPM acetate, a 10-inch acetate record, with two songs on it that were recorded by the band in 1962 by their manager, Brian Epstein, to use as a sample to try to convince George Martin over there at Parlophone Records to sign and produce the band.
So this is their demo.
This is their demo.
Huh.
Two songs that were recorded at a record shop on Oxford Street in London to try to convince the label to sign the Beatles in 1962. The titles are written by hand by Brian Epstein himself on there. And no one has ever seen anything like it.
Huh. This reminds me so much, Ralph, of the story you did a few months ago about Elvis's acetate that he recorded in a little booth that Jack White ended up buying, remember?
That's right.
For a couple of million bucks.
So this could be a pretty pricey item.
Wow, I wonder what that's going to go for. I mean, that's a one-of-a-kind item, not just the first Beatles song ever recorded, but the only one in the world.
Right.
Does it say what the songs are?
Yeah. It says there was a song written by McCartney and Lennon called Hello, Little Girl, which they never recorded as the Beatles, but another British band did record and had a pretty good-sized hit with.
And then there was...
How great is male ass?
No. I don't think that ever got on a record, I think.
That was a surprise.
That was just something they would play live in Germany. The other song was a version of Till There Was You from the musical The Music Man.
Wow.
Which they actually did end up recording.
But what got them a record deal.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Huh.
How much do you think that's going to go for?
$8.
Oh.
I think someone's going to lowball it. Someone's going to lowball it. How would I know, Bean? How would I know?
Because you are a guy who follows the collectibles market.
Right,
you
know, but this is, there's no comps, as they say, in the trade for this. There's no similar item that's ever sold that you wouldn't even know what price tag to put on it. Blue, all right. Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
Bean wants an answer.
I want you to look into the future and tell me how much it's bought.
How much, damn it?
Will that a-hole who bought the Wu-Tang album buy it, do you think?
I don't think so. He's doing time now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
That pharmaceutical guy? And how do you stand by your man? To what point do you stand by your man, Allie?
Like if he cheated type of thing?
No. Let's say he's got to do some time.
Okay.
For cheating? That type of thing?
No, for gun and drug charges.
Okay.
What all right. Drugs?
Are you asking how long do you wait for him when he goes to jail? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. I mean, a long time, right? Don't you just stand by your man for as long as he's doing time?
I do watch the show Mob Wives.
See?
And they do stand by them.
Yeah. Well,
they bring
Nicki Minaj is not one of those, apparently.
Oh. Huh.
Her boyfriend, Meek Mill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He has to serve 90 days of house arrest in Philadelphia.
She's out?
And she has no intention.
House arrest.
No intention, she says, of putting her life on hold for 3 months.
She can still go visit him, though,
he's
right?
He's in his house.
He's in his house.
And he's in Philadelphia, which is like the best place to be under house arrest. House arrest is my John. I would love to be under house arrest in Philly. Just kick back, watch Flyers games, order cheesesteaks, delivered to the house. Come on. It's the best world. Anyway, she's not interested, I guess, in living in Philadelphia for 3 months. So she said she has no intention of putting her life on hold. And
destroyed in that beef by Drake.
Oh, a couple times.
She can't be seen with that.
Word is, this is causing a lot of tension between the two of them.
What?
I find that hard to believe. Come on, Nikki. Do the right thing.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman, Ralph. Giving all you love to just one man.
This goes back, Kevin, to stand by your man, which is how I began the story. And so Bean is now reaching back 3 minutes ago to play the lyric game.
Put it in the file.
Yeah.
Although I believe that particular one, we will accept no answer other than take it back.
So you're not asking what I like to think about. You're telling me I like to think about it.
We're going to do that with prejudice.
Today's celebrity birthday, self-help author Tony Robbins is 56 years old today. Is he still a thing? I know he had a big following there for a hot white minute.
I don't know if he's still a thing.
I haven't heard much about him these days.
I bet he's still doing corporate gigs and whatnot, but I don't think we see him on TV with specials and everything like we used to.
Yeah, a lot of teeth that guy has. A lot of teeth.
Yeah.
Man, it's got a
giant head.
It's got 83 teeth in there. It's got to be 83 teeth in that head.
But do you remember back when he was...
I can teach you how to be a better shelf.
Scary. Back when he was popular, though,
yes.
you got the appeal. He was very charming and very convincing, and you really did watch that dude and go, wow, I'm inspired. I can do stuff.
Didn't you, Kevin, or someone you know, go to a Tony Robbins thing and walk on the coals?
Yeah, a friend of mine did. But no details. Just, hey, it was good.
Because they can't tell you for nothing. You have to become part of the secret club.
I never looked at that and went, yes, I should walk on hot coals. That's great.
It's symbolic, Kevin. It teaches you to overcome fear and your limitations.
No, I'm out.
Frees up your inner seagull.
Your what?
Your inner seagull.
Do we have an inner seagull?
We all do. Okay. One that needs to soar. And pick up garbage from the beach.
Why did you seagull?
Because they're the most majestic of all the birds, Allie.
Oh.
Open up a blog. Tony Robbins is 56 years old today. Antonio Sabato Jr. turns 44. And Mark Foster, singer of Foster the People, 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, whenever it will be on the program, plays Whitney Frost on Agent Carter.
Yeah, she does.
She's a bad lady. Zero matter.
Right.
She's hot enough to be an actress, Kevin, but she's also brilliant enough to be a scientist.
And she's got the zero matter.
She's got a lot going on.
Right.
Guitarist Dave Navarro joins us in studio. We have the Bachelor Report and April Foolishness we announced earlier this morning. Bill Burr, Bob Saget, Eddie Ift, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, and Wheeler Walker Jr. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon, and we've got your free tickets tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.